Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio, and on Block Talk Radio. So welcome to the show, and hope you guys are going to enjoy the show. Barbara is here with me today. Barbara Reynolds has a show here on Block Talk Radio. What's the name of your show?
Getting the Answers to Life's Questions.
Okay, Getting the Answers to Life's Questions. Speaking of that, do you have any answers for me right now? I'm having some really... I'm not going to sit here and say really difficult situations. Right now, in about 15 minutes, I have to do something for about 15 minutes. So I was wondering if you could hold the reins for until I could get that situated. I have a family situation with my daughter. So can you do that?
Sure.
I hate to drop it on you just like that, but it just got dropped on me. So we also have a guest with us today, who is really deep into the law of attraction. A very, very nice guy. He has a great book too. And for some reason, I hate when that happens, when I start mentioning something about someone's book, the name like went right out of my head. His name is Kevin Lewis. I'm going to bring him on right now and welcome him to the show. So everybody, welcome Kevin Lewis to the show. He was here Tuesday. How you doing, Kevin?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
All right. Barbara Reynolds is here today, too. I think I forgot to tell you.
Hey, Barbara.
I have a co-host who's with me on Thursdays, and it's Barbara Reynolds.
That's awesome.
So, actually, like I said before, I'm with a duck out here and probably in the next 5 minutes, but I'll probably be back at 6:30. I swear, sometimes with kids, you just never know what's going to happen. And when the older
they
get...
Isn't that the joy of having kids, though?
I'm still thinking about that, Kevin. So, So I'm still trying to find the joy part there. But so in the same situation, see, I swear the older they get, the more that you have to do for them. She's 25, and I swear she's going on 6. And she freaks out because she's a prime example of a lot of things that I talk about. Of you know, you always have dual sides. I'm focused on the positive. She's the negative part. I actually want to do a show called Superman and the Offspring Refuse to Fly. you know, because, I mean, she is a very gifted, talented psychic as well, but she refuses to use her gifts because she's scared what people are going to think of her. And I've actually been X'd out of a lot of family stuff because she's scared that people are going to think different because I'm there and because everybody knows what I do. And she goes, once you stop doing that, I said, once you stop doing what you're doing, because I have no intention to stop doing what I'm doing, because I feel like mine is definitely one of those things, and it's just kind of funny. I've seen a couple of parents who have kids that just refuse to do what they are destined to do, and always going after the money instead of what they love to do. So.
Well, that's what society has taught them to do. It's the only way you know how to survive anymore.
I swear, I want to smack religion. Not in this situation anyway, because she's sitting there thinking, well, she goes, what you do is bad. I said, yeah, it is. It's real bad, isn't it? Because I really changed a lot of people's lives. And she goes, no, not bad that way. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I thought I was getting a compliment for a minute there, but I guess not. It's like, whoops. But it was just weird. But I guess to her, you know, I guess like we always talk about before, you know, interpretation, she sees it as that's what she needs to do. So, you know, I tell her before, I said, you know, I don't really approve of that. I don't really go into that whole thing. But at the same time, I'm always here for you. I'm always supportive of whatever you choose to do. And I think that's what it's all about.
Okay, I'm going to have to step away for a moment, but by the time I get back, we'll be good.
Okay, no problem, man. Barbara?
Okay.
We'll see when you get back there, Kevin. Barbara, what's up with you, huh? I'm sorry, we're going to do it just like Kathy and Kelly, okay? We're going to say Kathy and Kelly. Actually, it's Regis and Kelly. We just canceled Regis out there all together, didn't we? So, poor Regis, okay. It's Kathy and Kelly. Forget that, dude. No, the situation we were talking about earlier, where we're talking about relationships and that kind of stuff, I did find out the idea of reflection of I wasn't being totally honest with myself, and then we have somebody who's pushing because of that fear, I guess. I still feel like the situation is, if I'm not being totally honest, then there's somebody else on the other side who's not being totally honest either, who's trying to... I guess we could use the word manipulate into what she wants it to be, which I guess are going to reflect a couple of situations I've been into where I always wind up in the streets because people don't want to sit there and face the truth, which is kind of the other realm of things. Do you understand what I mean, Barbara? It's like you go, I said, okay, they said, why don't you do this? Why don't you come here and we're going to see if this really works? So then you get there, they go, oh, this ain't working, see you later. You know? So it's their house, you know, like they always say, my way or the highway. So my highway wasn't working. So I couldn't do anything about that. So
well,
you
know, the important thing is for you to focus on you and to do the things that you need to for yourself because you have no control over anybody else.
That's true. And I can't do this. I was sitting there going, you know, something, I'm tired. And something come and tell me over and over again, I'm done. And I was sitting there going, oh, shoot, I've actually told people, when you come to that conclusion that things are done, right that second, it's over, it's done. You need to make that, because something's prompting you right that minute to make that decision. And I actually waited until today. So,
you know, I'm back, by the way. I like to sneak in and sneak out all quiet. The other interesting thing you'll find in making a decision is that then triggers the next step.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah,
because today my daughter got fired 2 days ago, and she's all upset about the whole thing. And at the same time, 2 days ago, she was talking about how much she really doesn't like this job.
Hey, Molly, are you still
on? Yeah, Mom, 2 minutes. Yeah, that's my final notice. I got to go, and I'll be back in a half hour. But, people are, like, popping in from time to time and saying, okay, I'm trying to get things situated, and it takes a little longer, but I have all intentions of taking care of the situation. But, I was sitting there telling her, I said, I can't my daughter look at the things I tell her all the time when I'm telling everybody else that you got fired, but look at it as a direction of which way to go, because that direction and that situation doesn't exist anymore. So it's propelling you to go somewhere else, which is going to be probably a whole lot better for you anyway. So keep your mind open to that. And on that note, Barbara, I can just feel the pressure breathing down my neck of my daughter. So I promise you I will be back in a half hour. So if you could hold down the fort, I'd really appreciate it. And, okay? I don't know what to say. Huh?
Well, do what you need to do.
Okay, Kevin, I'll be back in a half hour. And
All right, have fun.
Yeah, but take care of this daughter's situation. So thank you, Barbara, and I'll be back, and I really appreciate this, and I'll see you guys later.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty.
So, Kevin, tell me about
yes, this, Barbara.
If I don't need so much
well,
info.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm a life coach and a spiritual counselor, teacher. That's the best way to describe, I guess, what it is that I do. And I've studied most, if not all, the religions. I say most because I'm sure there's a few out there I haven't hit yet, but I will. And all the way down to, you know, and gotten deep into the understanding of what's known as the laws of the universe, and just studied deeply about it. And then I wrote a book called Coming Out, The Road to Unconditional Love. And the book really is about revealing secrets of yourself to people, how to really go about it, how to prepare yourself, and how to understand and take into consideration the person you're speaking to, and possible responses or reactions they're going to give you, and how to approach that. Be just fully be prepared to reveal whatever secret it is that you have to reveal in a safe, healthy, forward-moving type of way instead of a destructive way that we're taught to do it today. So that's really what I do.
Okay. Now,
I'm much better answering questions rather than creating a whole speech of how and what and who and all of that.
Well, I can understand that. I'm the same way. So let me see if I can think of a good question. Okay. So let's suppose, well, one of the things about me, I'm also a life coach, and my goal is to teach people how to transform their lives into joy.
Right.
And so I am not religious, but I am spiritual.
Yes.
So what's a good way of explaining that sort of a concept to people? Some people just don't get it.
Some people just what?
Don't get it.
They don't understand it because spiritual is referred to in a lot of ways as a religion in itself. Because to say I'm spiritual, I'm not religious, is not understood for the most part, because spiritual is very free will, flip, do whatever you want to do. There's no structure to it. Where religion, there's a structure to it. So the best way to explain it in the way I do it, because I don't attach to any specific religion, is I'm spiritually driven because I take pieces from every religion and use what works for me. That helps them understand that, okay, this works here, that works here, that works here. The rest of it doesn't work for me, so I move forward. Then inevitably the next question is, well, how do you keep any kind of a structure in your practice of doing things? And I manage a building also, and I've got somebody that needs my attention. So I'm going to step away for a moment, and I'll come back with that answer, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, if anyone's just now listening, this is, what is this? This is Donnie's show. This is the Angels of Victory and Triumph Part 2. And it's with the Psychic Journeyman, and I'm his co-host, and I'm Barbara Reynolds. And we have a guest today. His name is Kevin Lewis. And I'm not even sure that we turned on the chat room, so let me do that now in case there's anyone in here who wants to chat. This has been an interesting day. Oh, there they are. Where things have happened in ways that might not have been expected. So, Angelic Hazelife. Hi, I'm so glad you're here. And I hope things are going well for you. So if you have any questions from the chat room, I will try to keep an eye on that. And I'm typing and I can't talk at the same time. Okay. And if anyone wants to call in, the number is 646-721-9031. And Donnie has stepped away and should be back in about half an hour. So right now it's just me and Kevin, and we will be happy to provide you with whatever answers we can provide you with while Donnie is gone. So please don't feel that you have to wait or you have to hold back until Donnie comes back, because, hey, you never know what you might get. Isn't life meant to be that way, so that it's interesting and we can all just have fun? Okay, let's see. So the chat room is set up, and I think that's everything. So now we'll just wait for Kevin. My show is on Fridays. It's called Getting the Answers to Life's Questions. And it's normally at 2 o'clock Central, but this week it's going to be at 5 p.m. Central Time. And I'm going to have a guest on, Michael Carboni, and he is a psychic. And so he's going to be doing free readings on the show. And if you want to come and listen and ask questions, then by all means do so. You can find me at blogtalkradio.com/Barbara11121, or you can just type Barbara Reynolds in the search, and it'll take you there. So we have a question from the chat room. I find myself at the end of a cycle and starting a new one, but for some reason I find it hard to let go of the old. Any suggestions? Yes. In order to step into the new, you are going to have to let go of the old. You can do that in a variety of ways. One is by writing all of the things connected with the old cycle down and burning the piece of paper. And when you burn it, say, I am now releasing this to the universe, to God, to source, whatever name you want to use. And as it burns, you're letting it go. And then you can throw the ashes in the trash or flush them or whatever. Ah, so it's a person that you're not able to let go of. One of the things that I find is really good in letting go of people is to do a prayer called God Take From Me Now. And you would just say, God Take, and the person's name, from me now, every energy, frequency, vibration, every thought, feeling, and belief system, every pattern and program, contract or agreement, mine or anyone else's from this lifetime or any other lifetime, and take it from my DNA. Take it from me now and replace it with peace. And when you say that prayer and you truly mean it, then the connection is ended and you should feel peace so that you can go ahead and move forward in your life. So, Kevin, are you back?
I am. You heard me, didn't you?
Okay.
I have to. What I do also is I manage a building in downtown Los Angeles that is designed through subsidy programs, the government, nonprofit trust system that takes homeless people off the streets to give them housing and a permanent place to live and be able to regrow their life. So sometimes things happen.
Oh, okay. I understand that.
So, yeah. But I caught the tail end of your prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. It's nice. I like to remind people that, you know, wording that's used isn't always specific to that. Because, like, it's not always specific to what's repeated or given to you. If it doesn't make you feel comfortable, you can always change the words. But the important part behind it is the intensity and the belief in what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, I always tell people that, too, you know. Like if the prayer mentions God and they don't feel comfortable with calling God, God, and they want to call God Henry or Joe or whatever, then by all means.
Right, universe, spirit, whatever they want to call it. Yeah, by all means, change it. That's one of the things that was interesting when I wrote my book, because I refer to God a lot, but I don't refer to God as the religious idea of God. I refer to God going back into older texts and older understanding of, you know, not the dude sitting on a throne that's judging everybody and, you know, with the long white beard and all that kind of stuff. But the whole idea and understanding of God is in a controlling entity, yes, but not a judgmental controlling entity. And that was one of the things I had to explain more than anything else when I started doing interviews and stuff on the book.
Yeah, a lot of people have that perception of God in that particular way. And that's not the way I see God. And I sometimes forget that that is the way other people see God.
Yeah, so you just have to find your own way that's comfortable, that doesn't make you feel like you have to do this or you're going to pay a price. You got to find a way that's comfortable.
Right. Okay. I'm sorry, I was looking the message in the chat room now, and it was from Angel Eyes, who I was answering a question from her before.
Uh-huh.
And so she's asking now whether or not this person is a soulmate, and they do this prayer and let them go, will they come back into their life again? And the answer is, if they need to be in your life again, they will come back into your life again. A soulmate is not someone that you have to have a relationship with. It's someone that you've made an agreement with, that they're going to come into your life so that you can learn whatever it is that you needed to learn, but it does not mean that they have to be a part of your life.
Absolutely. You have to remember, for anybody, you know, the number one rule for your life is a choice, the choice of acceptance or rejecting. That's what you have to remember. So if they do come back, it's up to you whether you keep them. It's up to you whether you send them on their way. It's up to you with whether you adjust how you do things with them when they come back. It's all up to you. So if they're supposed to be there, they'll be there. You'll either learn from them or you won't. You'll pay a price or you won't. It's all about how you approach it, whether you accept and deny and accept it or reject it.
And, you know, that's one of the things about religion. You know, it teaches us that there's a set way that things are supposed to be. And if it's not this set way, then you're going to hell in a handbasket or, you know, whatever that religion believes. And that's why I tell people that I'm not into the organized religion, because in the spirituality, I have a choice. I always have a choice. And there is no wrong or right. It's just what I choose. It's so
I like to remind people that there is a wrong or right, but that wrong or right is about you. It's either right for you or it's wrong for you. That's it, and it's about you. So what they present is that this is the only way, this is the right way, then they're putting you within a group and controlling it in a controlled group that doesn't work. And remembering, too, that Christianity in itself, when it was invented, there comes a point that it got out of control. Because Christianity was invented from, I believe, and many, many other people believe that have gone back to study how the Bible in itself originally was put together, the reason behind why it was put together, that it was actually, and still today is, with some editing that's happened over the centuries, it is the most important collaboration of spiritual text that we've ever known. And when I say that, it's because they took some of the best books written, some of the best writings done, from some of the best authors over the centuries and put them together. And they did so to allow people to have some type of centralized place to work within for the basic individual. The problem came when, instead of handing this book and telling you what to do, they should have said, here's the book, now let me teach you how to read it. Let me help you understand what you're reading in a way, and why it was written this way and how it's written. Then you read this book and you take it for yourself and you do what you need to do for you. That's where it went wrong. Because then at that point, the general layman reads this book and these spiritual texts and they don't understand metaphors, allegories. They don't understand when to and when not to take it literally and how to apply the literal from it. So religion in itself, the basis of it, the book, the Bible itself, is a very great book. However, it's taught completely wrong. And that's where I like to remind people about religion.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of the religious leaders and whoever it was that was dealing with the Bible turned it into a way of controlling people. And that is not what it was meant to be. Kevin, did we lose you? Okay. Oh, we did. We lost Kevin. Okay. Well, we'll wait for Kevin to call back in. And let me see. We have more in the chat room. Well, I do have a strong feeling there is more there, and I will see him again, but that is my issue of letting go. I know I need to let him go and move on with my life. If I'm right, then he will come back to me whole. And, you know, if you don't let him go, then you are going to be stuck in the past. And if he comes back into your life and you're still stuck in the past and he has moved forward, then he will no longer be a match for you because you will not have moved to where you need to be to allow a new, better relationship with him. So look at it that way. By letting go, you're actually making it better because you're giving yourself the freedom to grow and expand as you need to instead of staying stuck in the little box where you believe, okay, this is the way I have to be because this is the way I was when I met him, so I've got to stay this way. Well, you're never supposed to stay one particular way. Life is all about growth and evolution. And if you don't allow yourself to grow, then how can you expect your life to change? If you want to live in a little box, that's your choice. You're going to just get very uncomfortable in that little box, and you're going to find out that most people want to hang out with you in your own little box. Or if they do, it's because your little box is so much like their little box, and you guys are just going to have a wonderful time being contained. Life is not about being contained. It never was, and it never will be. It's about opening up. It's about recognizing the truth of who you are and living that truth in every moment. And especially now in this year, with all of the energy that we are feeling in new ways, and it's taking us to new levels, new heights of experiences that we never were able to experience before. And so if you want to experience all of this wonderful energy that's there, that's going to allow you to create and manifest even more quickly than you ever could in the past, then you can't stay stuck in the past because then you're not letting yourself fully experience all of the potential that there is. And that might lead you to somebody even better than him. Because like I said, a soulmate is not someone that you must hang on to no matter what because they are your soulmate. Because you actually have several soulmates. Before you came into this life, you made agreements with a variety of people about what you guys were going to do, how you were going to help each other, how you were going to help to create whatever the goal you had before you were born was. And you are going to meet these people at various times throughout your life. And when you meet them, you will know that they are different from, you know, other people that you've met. You feel an instant connection with them. And you will feel this connection with people of all sexes. It's not just if you're a woman, you're only going to find a male soulmate. You have females who come into your life that you know you have that connection with. So it's not a matter of sticking with that one. Okay, so we have a question from the chat room. How come we can't remember that agreement? You can't remember the agreement because that was part of the agreement that you made to not remember the agreement. You're here in this life to experience whatever it was you chose to experience. You chose your parents, your siblings. You chose everything. And then you were born into that situation that you set up. And from there, in each moment, you've been choosing. And each choice has taken you in a different direction. That's the way the whole thing is meant to be. You are not supposed to remember that agreement because that's not the only thing you're supposed to learn in this lifetime. You have the freedom to learn so much more. So don't limit yourself. Be open to experiencing life in all of its variety, including the people, because it helps you to grow and to expand. It's all about love. That's basically what it comes down to. And so that's why there is no universal God sitting up there on his throne throwing thunderbolts and lightning at you when you make a wrong choice. Because for God, you can't make a wrong choice because you are loved. So, Kevin, are you back?
I am. Did you? I don't know what happened.
I don't either. You just suddenly weren't there.
I know. It's like my Skype just disconnected or something, I guess. I don't know what happened. But, yes, I'm back. I haven't had this much drama in the radio show in a long time.
Must be some wild energy out there tonight.
Evidently. Craziness. It's L.A. What do you want?
Okay, we have another question in the chat room. I was talking about the agreements that people make before they're born to come and to experience life and to meet their soulmates, et cetera. And so one of the people in the chat room wants to know if they go against the agreement, for example, they agree to be a priest and they opt out to become a business mogul, do they have to pay a price for breaking the agreement? The answer is no. There is no penalty. There's no one up there keeping track. It's all about learning, and you are loved no matter what you choose.
Yeah, because here's the thing. You can always take suggested paths, ideal paths at one point. And then when you learn things to a point, then you just go on to a different path. But to also remember, at the same time that you're a businessman or a businesswoman, you can also be a priest. You just don't have to do it within the terms of a specific religion.
That is true. And are all of us teaching other people all the time.
Right. Because what you'll find is a priest is nothing but a teacher. And a businessman, a very successful, good businessman, is nothing but a teacher. So it's very conceivable that you've agreed to be a teacher. And you just chose a different way to teach.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that just takes all of the pressure off of us because we don't have to be one particular thing. We can just be who we are.
That's correct. And you can learn what you're supposed to and move along.
Right.
You know, and that's like you're not breaking anything. You know, and that's the whole thing. It's not like you sit down and go, okay, I'm going to do it this way and that way and this way and that way. Because if you do that, then you're taking free will completely out of the program. And that's not going to happen because that's the number one thing. Free will is number one. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So if you lay out a specific line at the get-go, you've eliminated free will, that doesn't happen.
Now, one of the things that I've run into with some people that I've worked with when trying to explain my own concept of the creator and saying, okay, for me, the creator is in everything, everywhere. There is nothing where the creator is not. That would be impossible. And there are some people, I guess, their religions or their parents or whoever were very heavily into separation, and you have to do this in order to come back into God like you could ever actually leave.
Right, right.
I haven't been able to convey to them. So how do you, I guess you can't actually, you know, change someone, because I know you can't. But
no.
How would you work with that?
See, here's my description for people to understand. Is there a higher power? Yes, absolutely. There is one that is the higher power is responsible for the whole planet, let's say. And let's say the higher power for this universe is responsible for the universe. That is, in essence, what we could consider God. Remembering one very strong thing. God is love. Love is God. Love cannot be defined. If it is defined, it is limited. God cannot be defined. If God is defined, God is limited. So at that point, you can go, okay, there's no way for my pea brain to wrap around any idea of God and being able to put it together. So what does God do? God sets forth a program, a plan. There's a plan of operation for this planet to work. And that is what's known as the God particle. The God particle then does what it's supposed to, no matter you like it or not, which comes forth your law of attraction, which comes forth your, you know, do unto others to, you know, do unto others as you'd have done unto you. You know, do it that way, because if you do, no matter how you do it, it's coming back to you. We have all these different things. So the God particle is the premier active party here. That God particle is in everything. Period. Because everything has to work within the program designed for this planet or this universe or whatever. So
okay,
to try to describe or define God to me is limiting that, and I don't accept it, so don't waste your time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I like that. Okay, I'm going to have to remember that. Okay.
Well, at least
now we have a question. That's true. Now we have a question in the chat room. What suggestion can you give to someone who is afraid to experience life because of their religious beliefs? I met this young man at a business seminar some years back. He had all the tools to become a great business leader. However, and that's where it was cut off.
Okay. Well, we'll wait for the last half of the question.
However, he kept refusing certain opportunities because of his belief, his religious belief. I was like, wow. And I don't know if that's the end or not.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm kind of missing the question there.
Well,
I mean, how would you work with somebody like that?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because without knowing what their religion is, you have a hard time being able to put together why they're doing what they're doing, why they're choosing this against that. So I guess the first way I would approach that one is, okay, so you turn this down, why? Okay, so your religion says this. Have you really looked into your religion enough to understand what it's saying here, or are you just listening to somebody else and what they're doing? Or listening to a preacher saying, this is what the preacher says, so this is what I'm doing. Have you done enough research within your religion to understand why your religion holds you back for possibilities in life? That's the kind of the approach I would go with that, is to understand where they're coming from on their decision rather than attacking their decision. And then giving them different opportunities or different views to look at regarding that decision and getting them geared into looking past what their preacher or priest or minister or whatever says within their teachings. That's the
and
way
I've
I would.
And I've done that with some people as well, exactly the same sort of way, asking them, you know, is this something that your religion actually teaches, or is this what your religious leader says?
Uh-huh.
And you also need to come in with the understanding that they may not change at any time, and they may not change while you can actually see them change. So
mm-hmm.
you just do the best you can, and you let it go, because
right.
you don't know exactly what's going to be going on.
That's correct. You have no idea. You know, and then the other thing too is to understand that if your teacher does not evolve with the times and the religion, because religion evolves with time. Period. No matter whether they want to accept or agree that they evolve, it's there. Religion evolves with time. The Bible has evolved over time. The Bible has evolved now into 16 different translations. Everything evolves. If your teacher is not evolving, not moving forward, then your teacher is teaching you old stuff. And you need to get more up to date with what you're doing and what you're learning from and who you're learning from.
Now, some people have a real, real problem with that one. And
uh-huh.
my mother, who is a wonderful woman, and I love her dearly, but she uh-huh. is very attached to religion. And
uh-huh.
I tried to have a few conversations with her, you know, about some things from religion that I never really could handle, and asking her to explain it, you know, because she apparently accepted it all. And those conversations didn't go well. So after a while, I gave up on that kind of talk with my mother. But I understand that she's coming from what she's been taught all of her life.
Yes.
And what she's always believed. And she's afraid to let go of those beliefs.
Yeah, well, see, and that's the whole... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, all of that is built around the number one fear that every man, woman, child, every human has. Number one fear. And you can look up on the internet all of these different fears. The number one fear is the fear of the unknown. So she's much more comfortable knowing that this is the way it goes, and don't push me outside of this because I don't have any clue what's going to happen out here. Outside of this whole little bubble I've got built around me and what my beliefs are, so I'm going to stick here, and this is where I'm going to stay. So they won't look into other people to learn from. They won't understand the concept of accept or reject. You know, what you're teaching me, I can take this piece, but I can't take that piece. They don't understand that. They take the whole picture. They take the whole pie. They eat the whole thing. They keep it. That's it. And a lot of that is built around the fear of the unknown. And that's the number one reason why we go towards religion, because of the fear of the unknown.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
it's interesting when you step out of that fear,
yes,
and you start looking, you find out that there really wasn't anything to be afraid of.
Exactly. Nothing to be afraid of. And the fact that everything that we teach and understand as far as hell and, you know, you're going to burn in hell and your own, I have three things to say. First, when you die, your body stays here. You leave it in the ground, or it gets burned up and thrown somewhere, whatever the case may be. So then now you're spirit, okay? You're a soul floating around doing whatever. And if you go to hell, as it's taught within Christianity, you go to hell, you're going to burn for eternity. I don't know the last time anybody tried to burn a spirit. I don't know the last time any spirit has attempted or even thought about feeling what would happen from burning skin. Okay? If you are live within the terms of God, then now you go to heaven. You get a house. This beautiful marble walls and beautiful marble floors and these comfortable chairs and all this kind of stuff. I don't know the last time a spirit sat down on a chair and felt comfy on their ass that they don't have. Okay, so that alone is like, you got to explain this to me. Because if I don't have a body, what do I need all this stuff for? Now, with that set aside, you can take and understand God is love. You leave the body, you're within God. So you're within love. You're always cared for. You will always be cared for. You will then learn more and you will move forward. So if any, you could, the first thing to ever do is to get somebody to completely understand there is not such thing as what we understand or have been taught through religion as heaven or hell. If you go back into older religions and older studies, you find out heaven or hell is a concept for right now. You're either in heaven or you're in hell. It's up to you on how you view it, and you move forward.
Yeah, and that one is one of the ones that a lot of people get hung up on. They think that if they leave the organized religion and actually explore within themselves and look for the truth, then they will be committing a sin and dooming themselves to eternal hell, which I tell them there is no hell because it's impossible. How can you ever find a place where God is not? And if God is there and God is love, why would God want to torture you?
Yeah, and then explain to me how you're going to feel it anyway.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I take it really to a literal sense on that. Okay, explain this to me. My body's in the ground, or it's been incinerated and now its ashes are going to be thrown somewhere, or whatever the case is, as far as how I choose to end it with this body. So that it, I don't have a body anymore. How are you going to throw me a lake of fire and I'm going to feel it? I mean, really?
Mm-hmm.
Since fire is just manifestation of spirit particles put together anyway. So how am I going to be burnt? You know?
Well, you know, one of the things that I've come to see is one of my gifts is I actually get to see people who've crossed over. And everyone that I've ever seen was so incredibly joyful and happy. And it was There was never anyone who was, oh, please save me, I'm suffering, I'm in hell. None of that. Everyone was always so incredibly happy, and they just wanted their families to know, hey, get on with your life. I'm fine. I'm doing great. I'll be hanging out with you every now and then. There was never any remorse, never any sadness, anything,
you know,
negative, nothing.
Right, yeah, yeah. And you know the ironic thing about it, too, that you don't hear mentioned too many times? After that person is done identifying themselves, so whoever you're speaking to regarding them knows that you're speaking to this individual, they then go to their natural, perfect self, generally around the age of 35. In other words, they resemble the perfect self after
mm-hmm.
they've identified themselves, which is generally around the age of 35. What they look like at 35 is generally what their perfect self is, given that, you know, if there was a little extra weight in their you know, in their body at the time, but their natural self, which is around 35
mm-hmm.
generally. Yeah. So you don't hear that talked about too often.
Well, okay, whatever I was going to say is completely gone now. So, okay, I have a question for you.
Sure.
When you're dealing with the people that you deal with in your coaching practice,
mm-hmm.
do you get intuitive method about the people you're working with, or
Absolutely.
Do you use a particular method? Okay.
No. The best way for me to explain it is intuition. That's the best way to explain it. I've attempted to explain it in the past, and it just gets way out of control as to what I try to explain and for people to understand. So the best way to say is yes. That's the answer that I give anymore, is that yes, I do, and I will use it simply to help them better themselves, and that's it.
Okay. So we do a lot of things the same way then.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because generally what it is I get the information that you are refusing to tell me.
Right.
So, but that only works when you're not very close. Like anybody in my personal life. No. No, because I'm too close to it. You experience the same thing.
I experience the same thing, especially when I'm dealing with me. Because I can't get out of the way me. Yeah. And
no,
so
I
have to find
all.
Someone who doesn't know me to help with me.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
But most of my family members, I can still get some. Some of them more than others. Some of them are more open than others.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taken me a while to get my own perceptions, my own beliefs about them and what's happened in the past and all of that garbage that doesn't mean anything, to step out of that.
Yep.
But when I'm working with someone, I tend to step into my guidance. And
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
it's like my brain is disconnected. So I'm not thinking. I'm just saying what I'm guided to say.
Absolutely. Now, I will completely 100% agree. For me, it's the same thing. Except, I'm not going to say except. I'm just going to say I'm going to add a piece to it. Very blunt. There's not generally a whole lot of sugarcoating going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way to put it. So, you know, that's the one thing I explain to people when I work with them. I do not sugarcoat anything. I don't get sugar-coated, I'm not going to give sugar-coated.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So, one of the... Boy, when Donnie's not here, we can talk about a lot of different things.
I know.
I did not say it that way. One
no,
of the
not
things
at all.
That I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who is also a very spiritual person the other day, and we were talking about the fact that sometimes we draw a line between ourselves and others, and sometimes we just draw a line around ourselves. And how do you let go of that? Let go of that fear that, okay, if I let go of this, then I will no longer exist. The sense of myself will
what
no
do
longer
you mean?
Be.
I'm well, not sure what you're talking about.
We identify ourselves as a particular way. You know, we have this idea, okay, I am a woman, I am a particular race, I'm a particular age, I'm a particular this, I'm a particular that. It's ways
oh,
to
yeah.
separate ourselves from other people.
Compartmentalizing
ourselves.
But in
reality,
yeah.
But in reality, we are not separate.
No. No. It's the whole compartmentalizing ourselves and then qualifying ourselves according to others or judging ourselves and judging others according to what we have or what they have. And I call it compartmentalizing yourself, you know, whether it's from age, race, gender, all of that. So you just have to, the way I do it is I explain to you, you're not a woman. This would be to you, Barbara. You're not a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You just have parts that people use to identify you as a woman. You are Barbara. You are not from, it's not about a, it's not about a gender. It's not about a sexual orientation. It's not about color of hair, color of eyes. Not about all of that. Those things were put in place for your experience, but it's not you. There's a who and there's a what. You never judge or go or build by what. You never judge or do anything by who either. But when you understand everything around, everyone around you, they have their what and they have their who. Their who is the true them. Their what are all the pieces. So, and this is part of what they speak about when they talk about seeing the Christ, seeing the Buddha, you know, seeing the Krishna, all these different messiahs. You know, when I see the Christ in you, they're seeing the who, looking past the what. Because the what will change as the who reveals itself more. So when you teach people to see the who and deal with the who and be around the who, what makes no difference.
Okay. That makes sense because I often tell people to start a practice where they spend 5-10 minutes every morning looking into their own eyes in a mirror so that they can recognize the truth of who they are and learn to love themselves.
Mm-hmm. Unless looking in the mirror makes them sick. When I say
and
that.
Some people can't look in the
right.
mirror. You're right.
Exactly. So it's the what one of the things I like to tell them the first step to do is I want you to go to a park. Sit on a bench. Take a pad of paper and a pen. Pick out one. Any of them. I don't care who's there. Pick one out. Write down everything you see about them, everything you qualify about them, everything that's there. I want you to write down whatever you see. And then they write down what they see. Now, if you see different expressions, I want you to write down different expressions. Do this for as long as that person's there. Okay, now it's done. That is the what. Everything you wrote down is a what. Now, I want you to go back to the same part, sit on a bench, pick out another one. And this time, instead of looking with your eyes, I want you to feel. What do you mean? I want you to feel. I want you to feel what's there. And write down what you feel. You don't stare at their eyes. Just stare at their essence, at just there. And then feel it. I want you to write down what you feel. Now I want you to look at those. That's the who, that's the what. Do that at least once a day for the next 2 weeks. And look at what you see and feel every time. Get to the point where you can look and you can feel at the same time. See which one you want to know better. And at the end of the 2 weeks, I want you to stand in front of a mirror and do the same thing. Look at what you see in the mirror and then feel what you see in the mirror. You will now get your what's, you will feel the who, and you'll understand that's you. And then you can love that who because of what you feel.
That's good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I may actually have to listen to the show again, and I never listen to shows again.
And I can tell you, all of this, yeah, well, anyway, we'll go on.
Now I want to know what you were going to say.
Huh?
Now I want to know what you were going to say.
Well, just say it's given.
Okay.
That's the best
way
to put it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So his 15 minutes went a little long, huh?
Yeah, it did. That's okay. I'm having fun. How about you?
I am too. I'm enjoying it. This is fun. Yeah, oh, but my website. On Tuesday, I don't even have gave out my website. My website's coachlewis.net. My email is kevin.l@coachlewis.net. And you can get my book from there. You can get it on Amazon, too, if you want. But it's more expensive on Amazon. So, what about you? You got a website, right?
Yeah, but I'm typing yours into the
chat. Oh. Yeah, I don't have the chat room.
Okay.
I don't usually keep it up.
So it's Kevin at Coach Lewis?
No, it's Kevin.L.
That is FWI. Kevin.L.
Kevin. Yeah.
Kevin.L at Coach Lewis.
CoachLewis.net. Yeah, and I have my radio show to do tonight.
So what time is your
7 Pacific time. California time, 7 p.m. It's on LA Talk Radio. You can actually hear it replayed on Blog Talk.
Okay.
Yeah, it's blogtalkradio.com/Kevin_Lewis. But I replay our Thursday shows. I replay them generally 4 or 5 nights a week afterwards on Blog Talk. So they can hear, people can hear them through archives and stuff.
So what kind of things do you talk about on your radio show?
The name of the show is Wake Up, Stop Living the Fear. So right now we're all about teaching people about, getting away from their fears and learning that fear is a tool. It's not something to control your life. You shouldn't be controlled by it. You should actually use it as a tool to build your life because it's exactly what it is. It's not something to make you run away from things. It's a tool. And last week we had a gentleman by the name of Chef Daniel Young. He has cooked for the Democrat National Convention, for the Obamas. He also creates menus and cooks for top NBA players. A lot of things like that. And we talked with him regarding the fear of success. And he's successful. So, and he doesn't suffer, but he uses his fear of success to manage. And he manages it and has his life. But I do need to step away for a moment again, and I shall return about 5 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so if anyone wants to call in and has a question for Kevin or me or just in general, the number is 646-721-9031. That's 646-721-9031. And let's see if there's any questions in the chat room. I can't remember what he said the name of his blog talk show is. I guess if you put Kevin Lewis in the search, then it should bring up his show. At least I would hope it would. If not, when he comes back, I'll ask him to tell me again, and we can see if we can get it for you guys. And angelic eyes. Oh, you're welcome, dear. I'm sure that the prayer will help you to let go and to let go without the pain. That's the beautiful thing about that particular prayer. It does completely erase things quickly and easily, and you don't have to go through any drama in order to let it go, if that makes any sense to you. My destiny. Donnie had to step away, and he was supposed to be back, 20 minutes ago. He's dealing with his daughter, and he's not back yet, but I'm sure he will be back because we still have an hour and almost 2 hours to go. So hopefully he'll be back before the end of the show. If not, well, he'll be on his next show. Okay, and enough love. Yeah, talk to your friend. Talk to him about his fear. You know, do it in a way that just shows that you recognize that he does have these brilliant dreams, these incredible ideas, but he doesn't recognize his own value. And that he should look at different ways of learning to love himself. And there are many different ways out there that he can find one that he actually feels comfortable with, because not everybody can look into their own eyes. Not everybody is willing to do the different things that people set up for you to learn to love yourself. And he needs to find something that he can actually do. And then he can know who he is. And that's going to change his life. And it may change his relationships as well. So he steps into it. That's what he's stepping into.
Okay. I just think I just stepped into something myself.
Oh, Donnie, you're back.
Yes, I'm back. How are you guys doing?
Well, actually, we're doing great. And actually, Kevin has stepped away and should be back in a second.
Okay. So what was you stepping into? I heard stepping into, and that's... I didn't hear the first part, so I'm kind of like in the dark.
Oh, we were talking about one of the people we were talking about in the chat room who was afraid to actually live his dreams, who had all of these grand dreams and never would take any steps to actually make them come true. So he would be stepping into his power.
That's a scary thing, isn't it?
It can be very scary, but it can also be incredibly rewarding, so.
I think so. It's also one of those things that the hardest thing I have working against me, I guess you'd say, in some ways. I should be looking at it that way, but I was sitting here looking at some things. My daughter is basically on the warpath because she got fired, and in the course of her little situation, she doesn't really notice. She didn't pay attention, and I just kind of like dropped everything just so I could help her through a little situation she was going through, and then she threw a fit and said, all you think about is yourself. I'm sitting there going, you know something? If I don't, who's going to? So there is two different sides to that whole thing. If I don't sit there and focus on my life, then nothing's going to happen. The idea of the situation is putting things out there. I was trying to get her to look at things in a different way. Instead of saying, okay, you got fired. Okay, great. What you look at is, I have a direction. I mean, a week ago you were talking about how much the people that smoke there or how much it affects your health and that kind of stuff. I said, I think what happened here is a decision was made for you when you could have made it a week ago. And now you're angry because of the realization that there was things pointing out that you should be walking away in the first place. Okay. So she couldn't see that. She got mad and angry. And basically, I was trying to tell her, I was like, you know, I got this responsibility. And I said, I guess I'm tired right now of trying to impress you guys. And trying to, you know, you're all sitting there saying this, that, and the other. And I guess I've been trying so hard to impress you guys that I just realized, what's the point? You know, I've been telling everybody you need to focus on your life. You need to do what you love to do. And the path that I guess you'd say your destiny, as most people call it. And then I just realized just through this whole little ordeal that I haven't been doing that myself. I've been trying to impress people who just don't care. They have an agenda, and until I get that, until I basically abide by how they think I should live my life, then therefore I'm never going to be in a light of actually doing anything with my life, which I just don't see that, which is good. I saw that too. I mean, I feel like I've accomplished a lot, and also, as was put out to me, I need to go and do something to where I give back. So that was, I guess that's my realization. I just sat there and said, okay, this is reflecting back to me exactly. I guess one of those things, I don't know how we put that. I mean, it's just one of those things, looking at her. And one thing I do get irritated being grouped because of what somebody's doing, what mine has a tendency to pretend, you know, how would you put that? The way they perceive it. They're judging by someone who's actually doing it. But then say, okay, you're doing the same thing. How do you get that? I mean, I tried to sit there and not let it hurt my, basically, as I, you know, I was sitting there going, okay, that hurt my feeling. It was just, I guess, in some ways, when I sit there and go, okay, what was that feeling? It wasn't hurt. It was disappointment. You know, I thought all along that somebody was, and I guess the one thing is the people closest to you are hoping will see exactly what you're trying to accomplish. And the ones that are the closest ain't seeing it, they're not seeing it at all. I guess that was, it wasn't, like I said, it wasn't a hurtful thing when she said, you need to find some kind of job to give back. I guess I just realized right then that no one is actually seeing exactly what I'm doing. To be honest with you, when I do these shows, I mean, all I think about is how much I can give out across the airwaves and to hopefully touch some people's lives to go, you know, there is a different way. I mean, I know for a fact people every day are getting fired, and I hear people out here talking about all laid off and that kind of stuff, and everybody's trying to focus on getting the money but not really finding the happiness. They're not focusing on happiness. If they was, they realized money had nothing to do with it. Money is nothing but an exchange. So it is. It's just an exchange. But people have put so much emphasis on how powerful it is, and it's not powerful at all. I guarantee you guys, if you take a $5 bill and lay it on the table, it ain't going to do a damn thing until you pick it up. So who really has the power? You do. And you have that kind of power over your whole life. So I was actually wanting to do a show today on the angel of I'm trying to figure out what I was gonna do it on. The angel of victory and triumph. And but you can't triumph over your life until you have victory in your own self. I feel like victory is when you find yourself and you know what you really need, what you're supposed to do, what your destiny is, who you are. And then you can have triumph over everything you do. There's people out there who are calling in, and not degrading anybody. I have no problem answering questions, but my job is not to answer questions per se. It's the idea of saying, okay, this is the answers, but also the answer we found it within you, not me. We just saw it. We saw something that was there within you the whole time. You just didn't see it. So our help, I guess what you would say our job is to help you see it. But until you sit there and embrace it, nothing's ever going to change. So Kevin took a walk away for a little bit. Busy guy.
Yeah, he's managing a building where homeless people come to get shelter. So
he's taking care of business.
He has
huh?
to get to go and answer a door or whatever it is that he's doing.
Okay.
There he is.
I'm so happy. But yeah, I was doing the show on the victory and triumph, but I was actually seeing people today where I've heard this all day, where people are just talking about how they've lost things, and in the process of focusing on what they've lost, they don't see what they actually have gained in the process of losing a job, as they call it. I think it's just direction. That path has come to an end, and therefore it's telling you that this is not it, but there is hope and continue. I think it's also the idea of asking you, what do you really want? That's what I was saying. I was sitting there talking about listening to my daughter talk, and it was all this, the people here smoke, and I can't handle that, and I can't deal with this, I can't deal with that. And on the other hand, she says, if I don't have money, I can't survive. But she seemed like she's doing, you know, that's kind of funny too, because right now, when she gets her taxes back, do you know that she's going to have like well over $8,000? And I just look at the situation, what she's been doing for the last 6 months, as this, I feel like this is the universe telling her to take a break.
Well, you know what it is. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm just listening.
Oh, yay. Look, I returned. You know what it is? You've had all the time in the world to make the adjustments to make yourself happy, but since you won't do it, it'll be forced upon you.
Yeah, because I definitely agree with that. Because I was looking at her today, she goes, I was sitting here looking at her and said, I'm going to try to do this. I said, I'll sit over here and I'll babysit for you. And then all of a sudden her daughter got up and she was supposed to be sleeping through the night, which she didn't do. So I'm trying to just like regroup and do the whole thing. And then she's like, what's your problem? She goes, it's all about you. No, it's not. Well, in a sense, in a situation, what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to do two things at the same time. I'm trying to do the show, and at the same time, I'm trying to figure out with your daughter, how's she going to behave and how's she going to deal with this. And I've already got the pictures in my head that she can actually join us, and maybe she can talk a little bit. She can't talk yet, but she can make some notions and say, hey, I want this. Something that has to do with the show is what I was trying to do. And next thing I know, she was like, well, you don't understand. I got fired, and next year she went into this pity party thing. I'm like, why are you doing that? Why can't you look at it as a celebration? And she was like, what do you mean celebration? I just lost my job. I'm like, hallelujah.
Yeah, you know? She's based herself all on the fear of not being able to get another one.
Yeah, and I was sitting there talking to her. I've told her so many times, over and over again, and I know it's one of the things until she realizes it, but I see it. And I sit there and look at the situation that that's not the only job out there, and it's not what she's destined to do. Me, personally, I've done readings for so many people that I keep seeing over and over again until you come to the conclusion. And when I say take 100% responsibility for your life, that means go out and do what you were destined to do, and I guarantee your financial problems, they'll get lesser and lesser as you keep going down that path. Or as you keep chasing money, money keeps letting you down. It's because
right.
You're not having faith in yourself. You're not saying, okay, I can do anything I want. Me and Barbara was talking about this while I was sitting there going, I have an unlimited income. Boy, I had a hard time saying that too. I have an unlimited income coming in all the time. And it's like I need to sit there and say that until it flows out of my mouth. Because I know for a fact that when I'm having trouble saying it, it means I'm having trouble believing it. So realizations on those things, that's good. I can help anybody out in the freaking world, but sometimes when it comes to myself, there's some stumbling blocks in some ways, and we're trying to sit there and kick them to the side. I always see even when I say those things, I always see myself kicking those blocks out of the way. Just, I don't know who puts them in the way. I know I do, but doesn't even have
well,
to,
most times you put them in your own way because you won't make the decision on your own.
Of course.
So you got to subconsciously do it. That's just like when I came back. For two days, I've been looking at my coffee table going, you know what, I need to clean that thing. But I haven't done it. I haven't done it. So I sat down to get ready to get back on, and I set my tea down. And as I moved my foot, I kicked my tea all over the coffee table. Now
I
have no choice. That's right. I have no choice but to clean the coffee table.
That's what I said to her, too. I said, you either make the choice or the choice will be made for you.
That's correct.
So next thing you know, we got this situation going, what are you going to do? Are you going to put
right.
the energy into what happened?
It's going to take you to your breaking point, which means if it has to go to that length for you to change your job, that is the length it will go to. If it had to go to me spilling my tea all over my coffee table for me to finally clean it, then that's where it has to go.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy.
Same thing. It's all the same thing.
How in the world? You know, some days I look at these things and I go, what the heck happened there, you know? What I mean by that is I copied something to put in the chat room, and then when I put it back up, only half of it came back. And I'm like, oh, there it is. The whole thing is there. I guess that was worth it. Oh, I'm getting
old.
I'm old is something that, you know, no, I'm not even going to sit there and put energy into that at all. Okay, no way. I'm going to go walk away from that. I'm going to have victory today in something. So
there you go.
So, I mean, I already had somebody. I was talking to somebody before about it. I was getting a reading, and they're going, "Well, I see this woman you're going to meet is going to be a little bit older than you are." I said, "Do you have any idea how old I am, Scott? Because don't judge me by my voice, because you'll miss
there
it."
There you
every
go.
Time. And she was like, no, how old are you? I said, 49. She's like, no, I still see her being about your age and a little bit older. I was like, okay, I was just making sure. I have to ask those questions because I've had readings from people. I think there's two sides of everything. When we have a worldly reader and we have a spiritual reader. And
uh-huh.
what I mean by that is you have a reader over here, she'll go, well, what I see in the cards is you need to get out more often, and that's how you're going to find a girl. I'm sitting there going, no. Okay, I got to go to somebody else. And she goes, why is that? I said, well, my beliefs say that the law of attraction works for me, so I attract everything to me. So when that thing, when that opportunity presents itself, of course I'll go to it and open myself up to it, but it has to come to me first. And you're saying I have to go chase it. That's a worldly thing. So that kind of throws me off. And I think sometimes when we – I think that's, she's a great reader because she just made me realize something of myself, okay? So I won't say she's a bad reader. I'm going to say she's a great reader because everybody has their purpose, and she just pointed out to me what I needed to focus on by disagreeing with her. But it just made me realize – it brought me to the point of being true to myself. And I think a lot of times people need to take that consideration too when you get readings, that you need to listen to the information and not just use it as in – use it as guidance, but also listen to yourself and what that guidance means. Guidance back to you to realize that you're on the right path to keep going, or to step away from that. But you have to make that choice. Everybody, because I'm pretty sure you, in the midst of people doing readings, I'm sure they've all been in the same boat where someone will sit there and ask you a question, and the one question they ask is, what should I do? And me personally, I look at them going, well, this is what you should do, but when you leave my table, do whatever you want to do. It's your choice. I'm just saying the guidance that I pick up with you when I see this is the direction you should go, and this is what's going to happen if you do that. So it gives you an option. But at the same time, you have to make the decision for yourself. Which is not, I think some of these people want to call psychics so they have someone to blame when it doesn't work out the way they want it to. You said this. And I said, yeah, but I also said go left and you turn right. Come on. And then
right.
they go, how do you know that? I'm like, didn't you come to a psychic? I'm not joking with you. Are you joking with yourself? And they go, no. I said, why don't you rethink that for a minute? And just say, you know, are you kidding yourself? I mean, because I met a lot of women who talk about they don't like guys who play games. So how come do I keep attracting guys who play games? I said, well, maybe you should rethink that question. Maybe you should rethink the statement you just said. And they go, what do you mean by that? I said, when you meet somebody, are you being true and honest with yourself? And they go, well, you can't tell somebody everything about yourself when you meet them. That wasn't the question. I said, the question was, are you being totally honest with that person when you meet them? Because if you're not, then you're playing games. So the idea of attracting someone who's playing games makes perfect sense to me. I'm just trying to bring it to your attention and say, that's what I saw. So there were, you know, so go home and think about that. I'm not telling you if it's right or wrong. I'm just saying what I see. So why don't you go home and tell me what you see? I'm just bringing it to your attention. I'm going to be your best friend right now. I'm going to show you what a real friend is, which is being blunt and truthful. You know? You understand what I'm saying, Kevin?
I do, absolutely.
So we lost Barbara for a minute. I don't know what happened. She's not there anymore. Why do I feel so lost? But, and so I don't know what it is. When I see someone drop off the queue, it's like the world just came to an end. And then it comes back. Oh, someone popped back in. Now everything's fine with the world. So I'm just saying, Kevin, when I sit here and look at a lot of things, I mean, today was one of those days where I was sitting there looking at a lot of people and how we're emphasizing right on the lack of everything. I was sitting here talking to Barbara earlier, too, when we were trying to come up with this situation. I'm trying to say, okay, should I put money in there? Or should I just say, should I focus on what I just want to do? You know, that service. Because I've heard that a lot, and I was actually for some reason, every once in a while, I'll get directed back to reading my books again. And the first thing I read was, if you always focus on service, then the rest will follow, and everything else will fall into place. So I was thinking to myself, if I'm emphasizing on a $4,400 income each week, am I just focusing on money for money's sake, or am I focusing on that's what I think I should earn? And I had to sit there and think about that, why I was doing that. Because I always feel like if you're focusing on just for money for the sake of having money, it's hard.
There's nothing wrong with that, though.
Right, but I'm just saying, I'm trying to go ahead.
Well, the whole thing in that is, it doesn't matter why you're focusing on it. If you're
right.
Focusing on it, that's where your focus is. When you start questioning why you're doing it, you're doubting it. Therefore,
okay.
You take power from it. So you don't want to do that. So
So right, you just go into this whole, okay, I'm going to focus on, in your example, $4,400 a week. I want to make $4,400 a week. Stop worrying about why. Why I'm focusing on $4,400. Because is it going to make it stronger? Is it going to, because that why is a doubt. It's a question. Am I serious? You know, it's, you don't want to get into that doubting. So forget why.
That's
focus on
sense.
That and go forward it.
Yeah, because I know that pretty makes perfect sense. Cause I was like, that was the same thing in her was. I was like, okay, maybe I should just make a statement and just follow through with it and see what happens. And then live it.
Just focus on it.
Yeah.
Just focus on it and don't let doubt come into play on it.
Because yesterday I was sitting here and I said, you know something? I just want to do readings and I want to do a lot of them this week and I want to have an unlimited income. And I didn't really put any kind of limitations on nothing, just put it out there. And about 5 minutes later, I have a thing that pops up on my computer when I get emails, and someone deposited $50 in my account. So I was kind of like, yeah, so I was like, okay, that worked.
Exactly.
I don't know if that was a good, that was like a sign to me, going, okay. But the only thing I questioned it, because I was like, okay, I did that. So, but then again, the other point, when you say, well, it wasn't working, it was working, and in a sense, it was pointing me in the direction that, to what I should be really thinking about and focusing on, which was good. It's, everything's a direction. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I stop from time to time. I guess it's that little human side kicking in and go, you need to stop and take a look at this, when I realize.
Well, it's just the signal that your doubt's still there and you need to fix your doubt so that way it's not there anymore.
Yeah, like when I stutter through
uh-huh.
statement, that tells me that I'm having a little problems with that statement. So that's what I'm saying. I always have a tendency to sit down and write things out until I am comfortable with them. And
right.
I think that's the deal. It's the idea of following through with a lot of things, because I follow through with a lot of things that I think are important, but then I'm starting to realize that everything's important. Everything's connected.
Right.
Everything has a point, or I wouldn't be dealing with it at all. Or it wouldn't be a
right.
part of my life. So is anybody out there want to call and get a reading? I'd love to do readings right now. If you want to call in here, the number is 646-721-9031. And anybody who has a question in the chat room, I'd love to answer it for you. Because right now, it's just one of those things that, you know, it's like I keep, when I sit there and think about doing readings and doing this show and focusing on this kind of work and this kind of life, I always think about that Coke commercial. I like to teach the world and to sing in perfect harmony. That's why I always think when I'm doing this kind of work. So I think I have the right frame of mind. I do sing from time to time. I used to be a singer. And I feel like I'm not going to sing on the show, so don't freak out there, guys. I actually think you would like it, but I'm not going to do that. But I do have confidence in that particular stuff, which is kind of funny. It's kind of funny because a long time ago when I first started singing, I wasn't comfortable with it. And then I was. And then I've got people calling me up now saying, you're really getting better. And I said, and I don't want to sound like I'm being cocky or nothing, but I said, isn't that what we're all striving for, to get better? So I don't know. It's been a crazy week, I guess. Today's Thursday, too, so the week's not over yet. So what's going to happen to this week? It's all thinking about positive things, so therefore all only thing that's going to happen is positive things. I'm kind of curious what happened to Barbara.
I don't know, because I'll tell you, I got cut off once, and then I had something happen, and then I had to step away, so it's been crazy. First hour was crazy.
Oh, there she is. She's back. I don't know if she wants me to click her on or not. Barbara?
Click her on.
Barbara?
I'm here.
So you've been clicked on. How do you feel?
I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
You're welcome. So it's all a smile. So what happened? You get cut off? I don't know where Skype's located.
My internet went out.
Yeah, I think it's this weather we're having. The cold's really messing with a lot of things. But I did notice
that. Yeah, this weather we're having in L.A. is just wonderful.
Really, Kevin? Are you trying to?
Yeah.
He's trying to rub it the wrong way.
I'm just saying, the weather here in L.A. is a pain.
And
all this sun all the time.
And I can see that. I don't know. When I was out in L.A., I used to get on the beach and just stare out of the ocean for hours. It was a pain in the butt.
I've got my one. I've got my one favorite place at Venice Beach.
What's where?
It's at Venice Beach.
Venice Beach. I've been to Venice Beach.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I start out by chasing the crabs.
Oh, really?
Yep. And then I end up sitting there and doing my meditation or just doing my thing.
I got the crab thing, but I got like, some weird visualizations on that one. So,
yeah,
Barbara, well. I guess it's you got to watch out. The society doesn't creep in from time to time. Barbara?
Yeah.
Barbara, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm just making sure, because sometimes I've had people who are there, but for some reason we can't hear them. And I don't know why, but it does happen from time to time. I've actually had cell phones go out, too, and I guess they've had some power failures in certain places. So when you lose your phone, I guess the tower's not working because it's got power going through it. So when you have power failures in certain areas, the towers go down, too, so you lose your signal. I'm like, I don't think they got over that kind of stuff with the satellites and stuff, I guess. Still got some, I don't know, for some, I don't call them bugs. I call them, they got crickets still in their freaking system. So, Kevin, what's the situation? This law of attraction thing, it's like it works all the time. Angels work all the time. It just depends on what kind of blueprint we're going to give them, right, to work with?
Well, yeah, of course. They work all the time, but cell phone towers don't.
Don't you, you know, something we should all think about that and focus on a manifestation of a power source, which
we have one. It's called the sun.
That's true too. I actually let Tesla had this really good theory about tapping into an energy source that's around the Earth. I think he was actually, I don't know from what I picked up a lot of times, I think he was actually talking about the ozone layer and how it could actually.
Well, no, it's probably talking about the energy that you can't see that comes from the sun.
Which is on the outside.
That passes over the earth, and actually the ozone layer keeps it from coming down and burning and frying everybody and everything.
So with this, yes, I'm just saying he had a good theory, and I think we were talking about this before, where people say that the idea of government influence and some of these theories that we come up with of government interference of keeping us from certain things. If you start to look at certain things, just with the energy itself, because we had this thing the other day where someone was saying to me, I said the government and a lot of companies don't want you to think about any other kind of power source. Of course, they'll sit there and deal with it for a period of time, but if you notice, they do work with it for a period of time until nobody's focusing on it anymore, and then you have it. No one notices that a lot of those things kind of disappear, or they're not around, or if they are around, they're not really putting a lot of energy into them. But some ladies the other day was talking about, solar panels. And I said the government doesn't really want you to have solar panels because that takes away from the economy, is what they put it. And this lady goes, we got free solar panels. I said, well, I didn't say they wasn't going to do anything about it. I was saying they didn't like it. So,
well, at first they didn't like it because of what the corporations were doing as far as what they were afraid would take away from them. But now what happens is you have enough of them and you actually supply the power to the power grid. It releases it eases the energy on the power plants. You can actually get paid money. They'll actually send you a check every month according to the power you put back into the grid with enough of your solar panels.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was trying to tell her. I said, they don't like it. I've seen so many examples of it. When I was out in Colorado, I was in Colorado Springs, and there was actually a whole apartment complex on solar power, which I had never seen anywhere before. Which, in that kind of situation in Colorado, would be a good thing because you're actually closer to the sun too, with your altitude, not your attitude, but your altitude. And I saw that, you know, and I thought, well, that's kind of amazing that you know someone took that initiative and did the whole apartment complex that way. That had I bet you anything, because I was actually wanting to go down there to check it all out and see if it might be a little bit different on the rent too as well, because a lot of places down there, I was freaked out because there was more places there than I've ever been where you can actually get a 3 month contract, a 3 month lease, a 6 month lease, or a year lease, or you, places who had gas and electric, and all the utilities were included. I've never been in a place like that. Usually, you get one or the other, or you don't get either. And you
right,
get that kind of thing. But I went down there and I was like, oh wow, this is kind of cool. I'm definitely going to take advantage of this situation. So I popped in there and said, okay, yeah, I'll definitely come here. And it just, I don't know, sometimes with Colorado, I mean, I'm not trying to look at this place as heaven itself, but it does have to seem to have its different attitudes. And they, like Arizona, I mean, Arizona doesn't go by our time standards.
No, Arizona stays. It never changes.
It never changes. So these are prime examples of things we were talking about before, where people say, this is what you have to do. This is the way it is. And then, you see all these examples that proves them wrong, but they're still so dead set on their thoughts that that's the way it is. I wish we could change everybody's mind, but then again, I think we should just sit here and focus on our own.
Well, you know what? If we changed everybody's mind, life would be very boring. So you got to learn to appreciate the differences in everybody.
I don't know. I mean, when I was living in Colorado and things were going great for me, I wasn't trying to change the world. I was just doing my thing and working in my shop. But, I mean, I wouldn't say it was boring. It was quiet. But then again, after what I'd been through with an ex-wife, I think it was actually a welcome thing, you know?
Well, when you're in your own space and it's all good, then everything's wonderful around you. When things start going cranky, that's when you need to look at yourself because you're screwing up.
I gotcha. I wouldn't want everybody to think the way I do.
I wouldn't want everybody to think the way I do either, because it'd be really damn boring, honestly, bottom line.
Okay, I guess we need these little challenges from time to time to test our own. But at the same time, don't we also grow from all these things that we encounter too as well?
Absolutely we do.
Barbara?
Yeah?
You keep taking off. Where'd you go?
I'm right here.
Because I was sitting there, I looked at your mic, and I'm going, why don't you turn your mic off? And then I was sitting there looking at my internet, and it came up and said that your Skype thing was like was one of red. What is red?
Do not disturb.
Yeah, do not disturb. Oh, so you're talking about not to disturb you? Can we put you back on mute? So
I didn't know I was on mute.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, okay, she's on mute again. I want to probably the fluctuation on the keyboard. But if you guys want to call in and get a reading, the number here is 646-721-9031. If I said that too fast, too bad. But I can say it again for you. So it's 646-721-9031. I actually seen a great movie today. It was called The Airbender.
The Last Airbender. I thought it was very disappointing. But the end of it was very disappointing. They left it hanging too much, and then it wasn't good enough that they're going to make another one.
Yeah, they already made another one, too. And I was like, wow, okay. It's crazy. Sometimes with these movies, they say they put a lot of money into these movies. And sometimes I wish that some of these people, they would take the money and send them to acting classes. That's just me personally. Yeah, because, I mean, I'm sitting there going, I've seen these movies before where people, I can sit there and look at the situation, and I know there were sometimes, like, for example, MASH, when they did MASH, the people, the actors in MASH was not really trying to focus on the characters. They were trying to focus on what doctors would do in those situations. So they went and did a lot of research and asked doctors who were actually in war situations what they did.
Right.
And then they did the little comedy drama thing, but they wanted to emphasize a lot more so you could get the ideal of how people deal with certain ways of stress. And basically what it was, humor, and how people deal with humor, but still at the same time doing their jobs and being very good at it, but always having these certain things that they do to deal with what's going on around them. And I thought, and they did things that people were kind of thought appalling, but in actuality, that's what happened. Now, they had the one section where the doctor was leaning over the patient getting warm with the body being opened. And the one guy said, you might think that's appalling, but he said, that's exactly what happened in those situations when they were in war. You were in a situation where you were surviving, so you did things. And he said, a lot of times we thought about those things later on in our lives, that we actually did those things. But he said, we were just responding to the situation that was going on at that moment. And those were the solutions we came up with. I thought it was amazing, and certain things that people do spontaneously in the process of survival that I wish sometimes we could take a little bit further to actually, I guess you would say, touch all parts of our lives to go for not just, and I don't know if you guys, Barbara and Kevin, have ever encountered people who think that they can only be successful in one thing, and they have to pick and choose if they have a good relationship and they have a lousy career, or they have a great career or a lousy relationship. Have you ever?
Oh, yeah.
I've
met lots of people like that.
So in a situation like that, I mean, what would you personally, as you're sitting there probably in the midst of a reading or a session that you're working with these people, I mean, what do you say to them? Or do you let the reading go where it's going to go?
No, we kind of explore why it is they believe it has to be either or instead of being both or even more than just the two. Why they have those limitations. And why they might feel uncomfortable with letting go of those mm-hmm. limitations.
Like the situation you were saying before about being on God's payroll, we look at it more than just, okay, we got God's payroll, we got God's, how would you put that in relationship-wise? Unconditional love. You can unconditionally love anybody and anything, so therefore you can have the love life that you want. Actually, I've always felt like in the situation of being in great relationships I've been in, the couple of them, where we seem to be, as a unit, we seem to attract anything and everything we wanted. And it was like we put our minds on it. Next thing you know, an opportunity would present itself, and next thing you know, we were living it.
Well, you got to remember, you love who, not the what.
Right.
The what will change.
Because I was loving it all again, you know. Like, oh, look. I would say it was come up, and plus I think in some situations of having a negative girlfriend, it would just spawn in me to go, I know the solution to that. It's the opposite of what you just said. Go, we can't do that. Yes, we can. Let's go to, and it would just motivate me to go, okay, instead of, like you, what we told me before, I was sitting there by myself and doubting these things. But here's somebody who says you can't do it, and I'm just jump right into freaking gear and go, yeah, we can, and this is how we do it. And then I would go right into doing it. And then we'd always get, and then I started practicing a lot when I was with her. And things would happen in 2 days. I mean, I remember one time I said, all we have to do is we have the money. I know I just started my business and you just started a job 2 days. But who cares? The world, you know, the world says this, but I say this. And God said, and the angels were saying, we need to do this. So we were out driving around, found a nice house. And 2 days later, we found this guy who did just that. He worked with us. He took our money. He let us move into this place. He gave us about a couple of months to get on our feet. And I was like, and she was like, she looked at me and she goes, that's amazing. I said, I actually see it as normal. That was what was supposed to happen compared to what you were trying to make happen yourself, because for some reason you wanted to sit there and throw a wrench into it, and I just wanted to take the wrench and fix it and say, no, let's go forward. And oh, look at this nice house. Can we really have a house like this? Yes, of course we can. And that's what I was saying. Man, that's the idea of compliment each other. She's sitting there going, nope, and I'm saying, yep. And then I go right into action. And then in the process of going into action, she follows through right too. And start saying, okay, since he can do it, I can too. He knew better than I am. And I say, you're right, I'm not. So let's pull together and do it again. And when that came together like that, it seemed like we had relationships, we had careers, we had our kids were actually nice and disciplined, and just everything started falling into place. And the thing I was going to bring up today was the idea of chaos. My daughter's life is chaotic, but she's also thinking chaotically too as well. Where she's thinking that the lack of is the solution of why what happened to her just happened to her. Something was taken away from her, and that's why it always works. And she's not looking at what she has right now. I got mad at her one day because she came to me and asked me to borrow money. And I walked into her front room, and she has this brand new living room set. She has this about 16-inch flat screen television. She has a brand new... dining room, kitchenette set. And I was just sitting there going, I said, you're asking me for money? Why don't you just pawn one of these suckers? and she was like, are you serious? No, I was just kidding, but I guess I sounded serious there for a minute, didn't I? So it was interesting in itself, I'm telling you that. So we had a couple of callers that popped in and then popped right back out. Do you think it might have been Samantha from Bewitched and she doesn't want to stick around?
So that could have been.
Yeah, so she just popped out. See, I was there, when you talk about the Angel of Victory and Triumph, I mean, I think that one particular thing kind of sets a tone for everything because of the way life is. you know, when you have eureka moments in your life, you just had victory in your life of realizing your potential, and then you have a tendency to jump out there and go, I can triumph anything. I'm successful at everything. And then by making that decision, people, I mean, what was it? Who was it that said that the other day? We were sitting there talking about Atlantis, and I said, they used to think it, and then it would, and then it was. And I had a guest on my show, and she said, well, that's the way it is now.
It is, absolutely.
We don't understand our potential of what we can do, so we sit there, and we have these limitations we've put into place. So, okay, I can't make my car go mentally, but I can talk to you mentally, telepathic,
mm-hmm.
when I could actually do the same thing to the car if I really wanted to. And
you can do it to everything if you want to.
Right, and it was amazing. I'm trying to figure out where we came up with the ideal on certain things that we can't do, but the other things we go right into mode and go, okay, and don't even think about it. So I was thinking about that too, and this victory thing, it just seems like it's overwhelming, but then again, it's not. And if you've seen people out here who kind of get freaked out because they're sitting there going, okay, this is what we're picking up that you should do, and they feel at that moment very overwhelmed, when they're actually inflicting themselves with pressure because they think they have to do something right that second, when actually something's already happening anyway because of just realizing what you just heard. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. See, a lot of people, I mean, you take the words victory and what is it? Victory and who?
Triumph.
Triumph and victory. Those are extremely strong words. They are not just simple words. And just in that alone means just to succeed at a very small goal or a very small project in your life to better yourself doesn't become a triumph or doesn't become a victory if you look at victory and triumph as being huge.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Sometimes you have to change the way you look at the word.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was looking at the day and I was sitting there going, something just came to me real quick, and I'm sitting there going, Look at a river. Okay, a river, when it has abundance of water in it, it flows. Okay? And it's a river. When there's no water in it, we could say it's abundantly empty. But it's still a river. And does a river get mad about that? No.
Well, no. That's like a wave in the ocean coming in and judging itself by the size of a different wave. And
yeah.
Now that it's not as big as the other, or it's bigger, you know, that it's not as good.
I'm just saying sometimes life can be that way too. Like we always describe it, like go to the bank and go down the river. You might actually get to a part of the river where it's kind of dry, but if you continue to keep going and going and going, it's just a part of the river. It's part of life. And if you keep going, there's another part of your life. It gets abundantly again. But I'm saying about the river is abundantly full. But it doesn't care. It just keeps flowing and keep flowing. And that's what I'm saying about our situation. We should flow too. I'm sure you're going to have some mishaps with Ruth. We got a caller. I think I might know who it is. But let's find out anyway. I guarantee you, Kev, it's a female.
90% of them are female.
Oh, so what you say, that's not a prediction? I thought that was a pretty good. welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi. I'm really good. I'm just tuning in, so I've missed out everything. What have we been talking about except the river of flow, huh? That's all I got so
actually,
far.
Actually, Kevin brought this up Tuesday when he's talking about you can't really be abundant unless you think you're abundant.
Absolutely. I agree.
So the idea of abundantly, you're sitting there going, okay, what are you right now? Abundantly miserable? Are you, the idea, it's interpretation of, you know, how can you attract the more abundance if you're not abundant? Which means...
Absolutely. And it seems to me a really big, juicy tidbit here is that the universe doesn't rearrange itself to accommodate your reality. It rearranges itself to accommodate your perceptions of your reality. So, you know, if you're not reacting to the what is of,
mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't have enough money in your bank account. But if you're feeling abundant and it's really pregnant feeling, Mm-hmm. And that, I think it's really important that the feeling is deep and very emotional. And then you can't help but to attract a match.
Well, yeah, but the way I like to put it is that the universe doesn't actually rearrange itself for anything. Your perception is rearranged of your reality to equal what the universe does. So, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I hear you say that, but I'm still with the other one. I like the 5D, fifth-dimensional reality rearranging.
That's what we call it. That's great, guys. We all have our own perceptions, and we should never give in and say, "Well, you're right and you're wrong." Because
right.
I don't like going that route. I'm going, let's think about it for a minute, and then, it might make me rethink things, and again, it might make me go, I'm going to stick to mine, and you stick to yours, and we're both going to have a great life.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Because, you know something. I'm going to say this to you who's on the air, because for some reason today is my day of every time I start to say something to somebody or talk about something, that thing or that person, their name goes right out the door. And I'm sitting there going, I know this. It's a hard question on the test.
Are you asking my name?
I'm trying, yes.
Andrea is my name.
Andrea in a roundabout way is the
Why didn't
so
you just
sorry,
say, I forgot your name, honey?
I mean, I didn't want to say I forgot it. It just kind of escaped me, which I guess is the same thing, but it's my perception, okay? But
you can have your perception.
Yeah, but I was sitting here talking. We've done this. I've had you on the show a couple of times before where we sit here and make a show out of it itself. So, I mean, maybe I don't agree with your perception sometimes, but I think your perception is great and it's very deep and insightful, so... That's one thing I wish a lot of people would do is just the idea of respect people for their perceptions, because that's the way they perceive things, and to argue with them is really a long battle which no one's going to win.
Yeah.
And
so, Kevin, who are you? This is the first time I've heard anything about you.
Well, I'm a life coach, spiritual counselor, teacher, author, public speaker, and I do so... just to help people better their lives.
Ah.
Courtney.
Sounds like you're pretty heavyweight.
Well, that all depends on your perception.
Yeah. Are you aligned to Source?
Well, of course, we all are.
See?
Well, some of us are more, of course, Source is all things, but I, my sense is those of us who are in joy are... or at least from my perception, more aligned to the joy of Source.
Yeah, more people are able to understand or perceive it because they've cleaned themselves out, I like to call it.
Yeah, I was saying, one day I heard someone say this, and they were saying, she said she didn't like the idea of worry because she felt like worry was actually a prayer for bad things.
Well, yeah, that's like I said on Tuesday. If you don't know how to pray, I don't want you praying for me.
Yeah.
Save your prayers.
I've also read a lot of stuff on prayer, too. And one thing that baffles scientists is the one thing they do all the time, they try to make these things so hard, and they don't realize all they're doing is proving it. When they said prayer, no matter how you do it, and what was so amazing to them was, and nobody knew exactly what they were doing, as in, who they were praying for. It was just the idea of praying in a very positive way. Always seemed to affect everybody in a positive way. And they were sitting there going, why is that? And I'm sitting there going, who really cares why? I'm pretty sure the people that it affected in a positive way are not caring. They're just glad to have all those positive things happen to themselves.
But see, here's an example of how I like to talk about the fact that if you don't know how to pray, don't pray for me. I knew some people that lived in a motorhome. But they lived in a modular home. They were in a tornado. They were in a tornado, and their friends called and said, we were praying that your trailer wouldn't fall apart.
And you're like, where's it at now? It's 10 miles down the road, but it didn't fall apart.
Right, exactly. It didn't fall apart, but it's not here.
Yeah.
So they weren't praying for their safe, you know, whatever. It was like, please don't let the trailer fall apart.
So
if you don't know how to pray, don't pray for me.
I really wanted to do that, too. I was saying hello to Courtney. She's not even. I don't think she's in the room. Oh, there you go. She says, "Be right back."
No, she left.
I'll be right back.
She was there. Now she's gone. But she left her name to carry on.
Yes, she did.
Yes,
she did.
But as before, it has been an awesome show. I do have to go. I've got to get ready to go to Sherman Oaks for my radio show that I need to go into the studio for. Still.
Well, it
was nice meeting you. It was a wonderful conversation. And Barbara, we did a great job holding it down while he was out there playing tiddlywinks.
And I thank you all for that, too. So don't think I didn't.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
And I appreciate your working with me. He was out there playing tiddlywinks.
That's right. We had
you guys
a good time.
Like that word, tiddlywinks, huh? Come on.
Tiddlywinks is fun. Tiddlywinks is one of the things you could say in high school and get away with it, fully knowing you're saying something completely different.
Gotcha. Get away, but not really. But,
that's right.
Well, Kevin,
all right, you guys take
it's been
care,
great
right?
having you show, man. But come on back sometime,
right.
too.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, buddy. We'll do that.
All right. You have a good
one. All right. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Barbara.
She's
gone. No. I'm like, oh, gosh. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to get my composure as well, I guess. Sheesh. Our guest on the show is, we're going to go and change it now since our other guest left. We have a guest who's from Washington, and she's going to tell us her insights on how it is to live in Washington. You there?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I'm your guest? Oh.
Yeah.
I really love Washington State, but it took me quite some time to acclimate. I was from Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to live by the beach, and I was a beach bum. I was extremely happy living on the beach. And when I came up here, I just didn't quite kick in right away. But now I'm really loving it. I go out and hike 2 hours every day in the morning, and that's how I start my day. And I just kind of...
You go hiking every morning?
Uh-huh.
Really?
I do.
That sounds
with
like
my doggy. It's very fun. And
every morning I think about going outside, but then I change my mind. But I mean,
well, what are you, 17 below there or what?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, right now it's 27 degrees, but the last couple of nights we've actually been fluctuating back between 10 below and 7 degrees.
Yeah, it's time to stay inside.
So I was out. I actually went out last night because I got a. It was kind of funny. I was sitting there thinking and focusing, and then I kind of just said, heck with it, and said, you know, some guy, universe, what I would like to do, I'm going to put it right here on the air and say, hey, I love doing readings, and that's what I really love to do. So therefore, in order to do readings, I need people to come to me. So could you help me out here just a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of put it out there and said, this is what I love to do. And this is what I love to continue to do. So therefore, could you bring to me the opportunities so that can happen just that way I would like to have it happen. And next thing I know, I looked down and a little thing popped up on my computer where it tells me I get emails. An email popped up and says, you have money. I was like,
oh,
I'm sitting there
going, I love it.
Yeah. So
money in the mail.
Heck yeah. So we're sitting there going, and that's one thing I've been trying to focus on too, but they keep sending me interns in the real mail. So I'm like, why am I getting interns? I know what it is. I've been talking to people about the idea of how insurance is basically feeding into a fear of what might happen, which by feeding into the fear, you might actually create it to happen. So insurance says, well, since you did that, we're going to give you some money for that. And I keep saying, but we don't need you. If you didn't exist, then I would say there's nothing to worry about. I said, maybe I'm thinking about that too much and putting too much energy into the topic itself about insurance. Mm-hmm. But I've actually, in the last 2 days, I've gotten insurance. Insurance companies keep sending me stuff. I'm sitting there going, and I don't know if it's a challenge, but I actually had a lady call me up and said, I'm calling you to give you a quote about insurance. I said, dear, I don't need insurance. And she goes, well, don't you believe in things that happen like this? I said, no. Everything happens because I say it do or does. And I said,
it do.
It does. And I sit there and said, I said, and then she goes, well, you do believe in accidents, don't you? I said, nope, don't believe in those either. And yeah. She goes, are you serious? I said, no. I said, listen to me. This is how I perceive it, and you can perceive it any way you want to, but I said, I'll give you a little story. I said, think about this, and I know this goes along with you because you've done this. So I said, listen to my story, and you understand what I'm saying. And she said, okay. And she actually listened. I was like, okay, this is happening a lot more than I thought. But I sit there and said, has there ever been a point in your life where a little voice came to you and said to do something that kept you from getting into an accident or kept you from getting harmed? And she goes, of course. I said, well, you just talked to your angels because they were guiding you out of a situation. But see, you avoided an accident. So if you listen to that voice every time, you won't have accidents in your life. So you won't need accident insurance. And she's like, huh. She goes, you're bad for business.
Yeah, I'd say.
And I'm sitting there going, well, I'm serious. And I said, you all think that you're not psychic. But the first time you listen to your angels and you avoid a situation like that, you were just doing a reading for yourself. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I don't like talking to you because you're making me think.
Yeah, okay. Really.
But I'm just saying, people sit there going, mm-hmm. Not everybody's psychic. Well, that's their perception of what they've experienced. But from what I've experienced, I would say that's different because of what I've actually seen with my own two eyes. And we've seen people do that before who actually do see things with their two eyes, and they still say, no, that didn't happen. Or the idea of, I ran a stop sign, and the cop says, you can't run a stop sign. I said, yeah, I can, I just did. Perception tells me, you're wrong. You're right. It's against the law to do so, but to sit there and say you can't, that's almost like saying you can't get hit in a crosswalk when you're walking around in freaking crutches because somebody did. You're definitely going to come back with a really stern answer on that one and say, oh, really, you can't get hit in a crosswalk? I just did. Or how fast can Grandma go in that wheelchair? My sister used to do that with a lot of people to her car. Maybe I shouldn't tell everybody that. But but it was like, UCLA. It's amazing how those old people can go pretty fast in those wheelchairs too, when you're behind them going 50 or 60 miles per hour. But at the same time, I look at those things too. You can look at those as teaching tools of telling somebody you can't go 30 miles per hour in a wheelchair, and I guarantee an old lady will teach you differently because she's got a perception in her mind that you're not going to run me over. So she goes into gear and proves everybody wrong that you can go that fast in a wheelchair. And you might think it's kind of a crazy thing to sit there and talk about. I'm not saying you should go out and chase some woman in a wheelchair. I'm just saying every situation that you confront is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lady on here yesterday, Dr. Wendy Dearborn. And she said, if you think about it, you're not trying to be insensitive to people who say things. But when we sit there and say, take 100% responsibility for your life, that means the good and the bad, that something, a decision that you made put you in a situation that either was good for you or was bad for you, but you made the decision to go there. And she said that she had a friend of hers that got raped and beat up. I mean, they really, really tore her up. But what she said, she really respected this woman because this woman said, if I would have listened to my guidance, it would have never happened. She was a realtor. And what happened was, she was this guy calls her up and wants her to show him this house. And she said her voices, the angels came to her, guides or guidance, whatever you want to perceive to be, came to her and told her not to do it.
Mm.
Well, she didn't listen. She mm-hmm. said she let things make decisions for her, like the idea of making money and the decision and all this kind of stuff. Instead of listening to her guidance that was warning her against something that was going to happen to her, very strongly came to her and said, don't do this. But at the same time, this is what we call free will. You can make the decision to do whatever you want to do. If it's good for you or bad for you, whatever you want to perceive it. It's just a decision. And she said that when she did that and she made that decision to show that guy the house, this was the guy who raped her and beat her up inside this house. But she said that the Dr. Wendy said that she really respects this girl because she took 100% accountability for the whole thing. Told her, basically saying, if I would have listened to that feeling or voices, whatever you call it, it would have never happened. She would have never been put in that position, so therefore it could happen. It's the same thing when a person is sitting there and someone's got a gun on them and they make a decision for the person to shoot them. When we have other really strong examples of people being in the same situation who made different decisions who didn't get shot. So to sit there and say, well, this is what I have to do. No, that's what you felt like you needed to do, but you still made the choice to do it. But there's other examples to show you that in the same situation, people make decisions in a different way, got a different outcome, and did get shot, and still live to tell about it, too. So sometimes, that's what she's saying, sometimes it's hard in certain situations to point those things out to people that your choices, and I guess you would say your perception and everything that goes along with it, dictates what the outcome is. But
mm-hmm.
you are the one that makes those decisions. I mean, shoot, if you're sitting there at a job and you haphazardly say, I don't like this job, I wish I was somewhere else, that one thought is going to manifest into something. If you get fired the next day, trace it back to the source. It was probably because you don't want to be there anymore. So look at the idea of getting fired as a blessing of taking you from some place that you don't want to be at. I was going to tell my daughter that she was in a situation where she said it was constant smoke around her all the time. She said she was having trouble breathing, her lungs, and that kind of stuff. And I feel like it's one of those situations of saying, it's what she said, I don't want to be here. But she's also thinking about her health. And she doesn't think that's good for her health. So she's thinking about that. She's focusing on it all the time. Next thing you know, the universe arranged it just so that can happen, so her health can be protected, because her health is very important to her. So the idea of not being there anymore makes perfect sense to me. I just wish I could sit down and talk to her and help her understand why it happened the way it is, because she's very angry right now. I think she's angry because of the realization that she should have made the choice herself instead of it being made for her. But it was a crazy situation. Do you have any children?
Well, I have an adult child.
Do you want mine? do you think
you're giving yours away?
No, I would never do that. But what's the situation of children? Do you think they get more demanding as they get older if you let them?
You know, for me, I rearrange my life according to my perceptions. And so that question that you posed isn't something that I posed to myself.
Okay. No comment. I got you. No.
What?
No, go ahead.
I just don't. What I do is I look for things that I really appreciate about my son. And there's a whole bunch. Uh-huh. I'm really just jazzed about some of his choices. Attitude. I mean, together we together created a perspective so that he could buy a house exactly where he wanted, and he got exactly mm-hmm. what he wanted, and he just did it with attitude. And that was stunning to me, because he really didn't have, you know, it was very difficult at one time, that about a year ago, to mm-hmm. buy a house. I mean, they were making it difficult. You know, the banks weren't loaning and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. All the reasons why he couldn't do it. And, you know, we just made it happen. We created it. And so I don't look at, you know, what could be wrong with him mm-hmm. or, you know, what he might do if I didn't, you know, if I didn't let him in or any of that stuff. I just don't go there. I just look mm-hmm. for positive aspects about him. And
that's good.
And it just works for us. I mean, we've done some incredible stuff. One of the things that I really love about him
mm-hmm.
is that he has a girlfriend now of 2 years, and he never criticizes her. He never, ever, ever, ever criticizes her.
Mm.
And I think that's profound, and they have a really beautiful relationship that's very gentle on each other. So, you know, the whole concept of right and wrong can get really tough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I understand boundaries, and I think it's important to, you know, create boundaries that feel good to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody steps on your toes, you know, I think it's important to say that just doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying to you. That's the first part of the show was my daughter came in and she said she needed some help doing something. So actually I came in and opened the show up and disappeared for about 45 minutes to help her out with her situation, which turned out to be, it fell apart pretty much. because she just got very angry because I was like, okay, I can help you with this, and I'm trying to figure out how to do a lot of other things too, but I got to do this show, and I got to get back to the show. And she's like, well, there you go again. All you think about is you. I said, if I don't think about me in this situation, the responsibilities I have, nobody will. And they have to be taken care of. And I said, I'm getting really tired with this family in some ways, because every time I would try to do something, you want to sit there and put the selfish word on there. I'm sitting there going, that's kind of cruel, because I said, I've just realized that here I am trying to please you guys all the time, and I'm trying to please people that just can't be pleased, so therefore I have to stop doing that. And maybe the reason I haven't gotten as far as I should have is because of just pointing myself in different directions and hoping someday that somebody would actually like me in this family. And I started realizing, who cares? I know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And the other day I got this comment, which my mom said to me was, why don't you go out? I wish, she goes, I hope someday that you actually get, that you actually do something to where you can actually give back. And I was just like, okay, it wasn't a hurtful feeling. It was just disappointing, because I thought at one point that I'd actually gotten across to my family that that's exactly what I've been doing for a very long time.
I absolutely agree with you. And aligning to source and being in appreciation is the best give back on the planet. It's just automatic give back. And I think it's really appropriate to be very selfish for source, you know. And I think it's appropriate to be me first. It's kind of like when you're on an airplane, you know, and there is there is turbulence, and you look for that gas mask, and you take it first, and you breathe first so that you can help others. You know, that's the way, that's a mother thing. A mother takes care of herself first so she can take care of her babes.
Yeah,
that's a divine mother. Got it.
That's what I tell, that's what I've always told people before, too. You can't be good for somebody else unless you're good for yourself.
First.
You know,
I don't see it as being selfish. I see it as being centered in self.
So it's not a selfish thing. It's just that's the way it's supposed to be. Because if you sit and think about it,
right, you're supposed to be in yourself.
Yeah, because if you look at God and what it says in the Bible, He says basically that you will focus on Him. He focuses on that, just that one thing. How would you put that? It's a selfish thing that, you know, focus on that, I am the one.
Yeah,
but
spirit.
Source. Yeah, spirit is the
source,
one, but you're also
focus.
But you're also connected to source as well. So therefore, even the Bible says, to thyself be true. Does anybody know what that means? It doesn't mean you give up all your possessions. Or maybe it does. It's perception. But I'm just saying, it's one of those things of, when you're being true to yourself, you do, because the biggest thing I'm trying to tell my family is, you all keep telling me this is what you should do. But at the same time, you're very religious and you say, well, God has a plan for you. How do you know I'm not living that? You've never asked. You just assume that you all know exactly what's good for me. But you've never asked me what I ever thought and what I've, because you say, listen to guidance. But at the same time, you don't ask me if I've ever done that. You just assume I haven't, so therefore you go into this, I'm going to save you. When I work and do this kind of work and stuff, I'm not trying to save anybody. I guess I would sit there and say, we're all working together. So therefore, I want to work with you to help you see what I see. Because right now at this moment, maybe you're not seeing it, but I can see it so clearly that you're such a great person, but here you are talking yourself down. I'm sitting there going, no, don't do that. So I think it's like anybody would have a really good friend, a really great friend out there who would tell you the truth when you need to hear it, and someone to sit there and say, okay, I love you so much that you're being a jerk right now. But I'm going to tell you that because I feel like you're also a very caring and loving person, but you don't want to be that person. And I think you've got into this situation where it's been such a habit, you don't realize what you're doing. So I'm bringing it to your attention right now and saying, okay, do you want to be a mean person? Because you're asking me right now, why do people running away from me? I guess it's because those chairs you're throwing. To us it's obvious. But sometimes when you're talking to people, and I love sitting down and talking to people, because when you sit there and talk, and when you do this kind of work and you bring it back to because we're always talking about source itself, but you can always trace it back to the source as well too, which is you. So it kind of puts you in this. So when you have this kind of thing, did you ever think that God said "I am"? So therefore, you would take that moment to think about yourself too as being one and one with the source. I am. I thought that was kind of unique how he basically says, "Well, you're not going to get it, so I'll help you out." So when you sit here and focus on me, you're focused on you. When you focus on you, you're focused on me. And then you realize there's no duality. We're the same. And then you go, what should I do? Well, when you're that in sync, why don't you just sing a happy tune and go on with your life? So these are messages that I hear and pass on to you guys all the time because it's like reflection of life. It seems like people look at them a whole lot clearly when I say, this is what I did with my life, because I guarantee you on the other side they're thinking the same thing, that, ooh, if he did that, I can do it too. Because we've all crossed people's paths and go, wow, there's a lot of reflection going with everybody, not just one or two people, but everybody who crosses my path has some kind of reflection of me. And these are just reminding you to keep going, or reminding you of certain things you don't like about yourself, or remind you of things that you do like about yourself. Because a lot of people have a tendency to lose their way on the path. I've always said that you're not out there trying to find the right person. It's the ideal of finding opportunities to put yourself back on the path to be with the person you were meant to be with in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense to you?
Yeah, it does. I want a reading, too. How's your third eye? Are you doing readings tonight?
How's my third eye? No one's ever asked me that.
Barbara. Is your third eye in good shape tonight? Are you doing readings?
I don't know. My third eye is really in good shape. When I'm actually on the verge of getting headaches, I think I'm really actually better than when I'm not. But right now, I feel really good because I've actually learned that we all learn and progress through a lot of things. But I was sitting there going, okay, I'm on the verge of getting a headache. So I knew, and I knew that Dad had been overworking my third eye because of exactly what that headache was. And it wasn't until someone brought it to my attention that said, okay, maybe the reason you have a headache because you've been really doing a lot of readings today and working with a lot of people. I said,
that makes sense, huh?
Yeah, you're right. And the lady goes, why didn't you catch that? I was like, I'm sorry. I was so happy with what I'm doing that I didn't even think about it. Hey, Barbara.
Yeah.
What? Okay. You were actually on there twice.
I know. Skype hung me up, but then on the switchboard it didn't show that it hung me up.
Skype. Oh, I love this thing. I'm going to keep saying that because it's going to get better. I love Skype. It just makes our life so easy.
Yes, okay. They do.
Everybody out there, try it.
In the chat room.
I actually want to say one thing before we answer any more questions, is I want everybody to think about this, okay? If the idea of giving something to somebody, okay, but I don't want you to give something away that you don't need anymore. I want you to give away something that's so precious that you love it so much. I want you to give it away so someone else can appreciate it just as much as you. I guarantee when you do that, you're going to feel so, like, 10 times, 20 times better just by doing that one thing than if you just gave something away you don't need anymore. There's no power to that. But when you send something out there that's got so much love with it, it's going to resonate and it's going to really create a lot of positive things that happen, not just in their life, but I guarantee it's going to come back on you too. So try that. So therefore, you said we have a question?
In the chat room.
Okay.
From Sweet Angel.
Sweet Angel. My question is, do you see more moving this year and coming out of a unhealthy relationship? Well, dear sweet angel, God, I feel like I'm doing one of those freaking shows. The ideal, I would sit there and say, see moving. I don't see any moving this year. I also feel like that with this relationship that you need, see, coming out of an unhealthy relationship should be out of a relationship. Okay, so it's the idea, I understand what you're saying. Coming out of an unhealthy relationship. That realization right there means that means you should be out of the relationship. And also, guys, if you're trying to call me on Skype, it's actually Donald.Reed8. I don't know what happened to the 8. It was on there a while ago. Anyway, let's get back to this lady here. I don't see any more moving, sweet angel. I do see And if we look at any kind of movement here, it will be out of that unhealthy relationship. Make a decision to be happy right this minute. Wow, compelling story about listening to the inner voice. Well, are you listening? Or are you procrastinating? Because if you're still in the, if you're coming out of the unhealthy relationship, I would say that you're still in it. So the ideal of interpretation here is you're thinking you're coming out of it when it's a definite decision to walk right now. I just had a really awakening myself when I just came to a eureka moment and said, okay, I need to walk away from a relationship. And when you come up with those realizations, at that moment you come up with the realizations, that's the time to walk and make the decision right then and there. If you already know that, you're just procrastinating, and if there's bad things happening to you at this moment and you can't figure out why, it's because you're not supposed to be there. Okay, so look at the situation, take 100% responsibility for that, make the decision, and I guarantee it's going to be one of the best decisions you've ever made. So listen to your angels. They're talking to you all the time. Archangel Raphael says it's time for a really strong healing, which will also open the door for more abundance. You can interpret that any way you want to, but I think I get the really strong feeling it's more of interpreting as more of abundance. If you want to really be really abundant in your life, then abundantly love yourself.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds good.
I just lost my head. it's one of those things I got to come back, because the other day I was on my show with Courtney in the mornings, and I was doing this thing. I picked up this lady who was a past life and some things that were going on here, and something just pulled me into this. I never had that before, but something just pulled me into this thing very strongly, and I just gave her all this information, and she was like, wow, you just kind of like described everything that was going on in my life now. I said, yeah, and it's traced back to a past life, this and this and this, you know? And I was like, that happens. When those things happen for the first time, they just start happening more and more and more, which is just one of those, I guess it's one of the things I've been trying to focus on is more intense focus. And tapping into that one thing, it's like having your brain, and there's all these things here, and when you tap into those things, they open them up again, so you don't have any more problems opening them up anymore. So it's like another spontaneous thing that you're using again, which just enhances what you already do in the first place, which that's what I've been doing constantly. I mean, seriously, this is what I was sitting there going, with the idea of having success in my life, I should just put it just like this and say, okay, I want to be the most powerful, successful, accurate, detailed, enlightening psychic, spiritual advisor there ever has been, but also at the same time be the most patient and understanding and going and wanting to go the extra mile to really work with somebody, but also be successful on top of that whole thing so therefore I can continue to do what I want to do. And to tell people, like, that's what you need to get detailed about. When you put yourself into what you're supposed to do with your life, don't be scared to get the full benefit of that too as well. And saying, you know, because some people have a tendency, well, I have a gift, so I shouldn't be charging this much. And when, how come people don't respect them? When the truth really is with this society, and I hate to say that, and I'm, you know, it's like working on mass consciousness to change those kind of things, but people have a tendency to say that. And I want you to, I honestly think that some people say that for one reason, so you'll give them a cheaper price anyway. But I've noticed people who actually do go along and pay exactly what I'm asking for, they'll question it at first, but they come back later to you, and again and again, and you never say anything to them. You don't do readings where they're continuing to the next week, you know. They just come back to you because they have a respect for you. Mm. And the people I've done things for free have a tendency to overtax me, where they don't have no respect for me. They just want the answers. It's like being stuck in a. I describe it as being in a what do they call those things when you got a bunch of cows to take off and trample everybody? Stampede. Mm. It's like a stampede of people asking questions, and honestly, it does hurt to the point physically where you just feel like someone's walking all over you, and it's like you take a deep breath. And I've always noticed that when I did this in a party one time, people were just like, all of a sudden it was just overwhelming of questions and questions and questions. I finally just stood up and said, okay, I'm not answering another freaking question until someone hands me a $20 bill. Now, I was trying to get them to stop. But see, the point was, someone got up, opened their wallet, and handed me a $20 bill, just that easy. Mm-hmm. So That's how easy it is to ask for what you deserve. Now, that's what I was saying. Mm-hmm. I deserve respect. And someone gave me $25, that was a respect. So I'm just saying, people out there who have a tendency of, well, I don't know if I should ask for that much because I'm scared I won't get it. Well, your fear is what's keeping you from getting it. Because if you feel
I also think you have to be satisfied with where you're at first before or while you're reaching for more. I think that's mm-hmm. what we've been talking about, being abundant. But there's a satisfaction that says, you know, what I've created is really juicy. I'm happy mm-hmm. with what is. And I'm mm-hmm. eager for more. I feel really an alignment. But when you're not happy with what you've created and you want more, it doesn't seem like, I don't know, perhaps you find that that's how it works for you. And certainly mm-hmm. that may be your perspective, but it feels like to me that isn't, my perception, that isn't alignment with abundance.
Uh-huh.
I see it more as acceptance than satisfaction. Because satisfaction is usually an ending. But you can accept something and still want more.
Yeah, because, in my abundance book, it talks just that. You really can't be comfortable and to continue going on. You have to be...
I'm not saying an ending of satisfaction, but there is uh-huh. an appreciation for what you have created in your life. For what you've done. And what did Barbara say? An allowing?
Allowing.
Okay.
And Barbara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you say, the word? What
alignment.
Was the word?
Not alignment.
I said it's more of an accepting of
uh-huh.
what you have. And when you accept something, you don't keep trying to change it. You don't keep questioning it. You don't see what's wrong with it. You don't judge it. You just
right.
say, okay, this is what is. And
right.
then you can say, okay, and this is what I'm going to create now. So you
yeah.
can step forward.
That feels really good to me, and especially in terms of creating abundance, more abundance. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it works to say, I want, you know, in detail, $50,000.
I do.
Because it's kind of like just what we said, an acceptance of what is
mm-hmm.
feels like I really love, or for me, those are my words. I really love and appreciate the what is. And I'm eager for more. And there's such a stirring and a beating of the drum about how good it is that matches.
Yeah, that's what I have clients do. I have them make up I love statements like, I love the fact that I have enough money right now to pay my bills, and I love the fact that it keeps growing, and I miraculously get everything I need whenever I need it, and it's just so wonderful to know that it's always going to be there for me.
Yeah.
I would love to see my queue full with people because I just love to do readings and I love to do more.
Good. Why don't you do a reading for me?
let me think about that for a minute. No, I didn't say I didn't. I was thinking about it. I didn't say no. come on, guys. You're right. I should let go of the first part of the show because I was like caught in mode. I actually had. I was in a situation where she got mad and took off. I had to actually walk home. So I was like busting.
I guess I'm not aware of what you're feeling and you're going through. Maybe I'm not aware that what I've just asked you is inappropriate. So hear that whole story.
No. What you asked for is not inappropriate. It's just the ideal of a situation with my daughter, that's all. And Barbara and Kevin had to... Basically, I opened the show up, and then they took over for about 45 minutes until I got back. We're trying to help her out with a situation, which she blew up because I told her I had a responsibility to finish this show, and she basically blew up about the whole thing and said, "It's all about you, isn't it?" And I'm like, "Okay, I don't know how to." At that point, I was like, "I do not know what to even say because all I'm trying to do is take care of my responsibilities and." I mean, I've been working on this thing for so long because I love doing this and I just don't want to, I don't have any intention of stopping it. But at the same time, I decided to basically drop everything for about 45 minutes to help her out. And I was kind of like appalled by the whole thing because I didn't know how to react to it because I thought.
So you're still sitting with these feelings. Is that what's going on?
In some sense of the word, yes. I was trying to sit and look at it and try to sit there and try to help her.
Do you
want
to let them go?
Do I want to let them go? I want to sit there and. The one thing I was trying to focus on realistically is what I would love to do at this moment in time is to focus on exactly what she asked me to do is do a reading, but at the same time I was also pulled to moving, not just moving from here and being in a situation, because like we were talking about before at the beginning when I came back and we were talking about I was trying to look at the situation, appreciate it, and try to sit down and focus and go, okay, I'm here, so let's do some readings and that kind of stuff. But I was kind of thrown off by the whole thing of having some realizations of my own, of saying, here I am trying to basically please two people who really just don't care right now unless I decide to conform to what they think I should do, and then everybody would be happy, except for I would be happy, so I have to make a decision to continue to do what I'm doing because this is what I'm guided to do. And I was talking to Barbara about the thing saying, it's amazing how people look at me all the time saying, this is what you should be doing. And they never ask me what I think I should be doing. But they say,
obviously doing what you think you should
right.
be doing.
And then they sit there and say, you have never been successful at this. And I'm sitting there going, well, that's kind of wild, isn't it? I've actually lived in almost every state in the union. I've been everywhere. I've done everything else. And only I can trace it back to in those times of actually being able to do what I wanted to do and go where I wanted to go was because of this job, because of what I do. When I went to Colorado for the first time, I sit there and said it one way. I said it one day. I was like, you know, so I went to Colorado when I went to California. I would love to live there. Or love to even just experience it because I thought it was a cool place when I went through it. And 2 days later, one of my clients, I was working through a company, and I always say to people too, in order to have your manifestations happen, you have to be there and you have to be in the place. You know, you can't sit there and expect money to drop in your lap, or you can't. Well, how do you put this? You can't expect it to cash a check if you're not willing to go to the bank. So so I was sitting there going. I was doing my job. I was working through a psychic company. Couldn't figure out why and how I got this job with this company. I mean, I thought I was talented enough, but the lady gave me a hard time. It wasn't until this lady came through and said, she just called me out of the blue, like 2 days later after I said I want to go to Colorado. She called me up and said, hey, you know, I said, I'd love for you to come out here and work for me. I think you have a great voice. I think you'd be great on the phones. And she said, I just think you're great with people. Okay. And where do you live? And she's, I live in Colorado. I about dropped the phone. I was like, oh, really? So I sit here and I have a tendency to test things. Not because I'm pushing the envelope in some ways. I'm just saying, okay, if this is supposed to happen, then there shouldn't be any. When I say push the envelope, I'm saying I ask exactly for what I want. Okay? So I told her, I said, I have no money to travel. You know, I have to have a place to live. It's great you're giving me a job, but I said, if you can solve these other things, and, you know, I'll be glad to come out there. And the lady called me back in 20 minutes and said, I have a place for you. You can rent our basement out. It's a finished basement. You could be working for me. Got that down. And we're coming to get you. Okay.
Cool.
So I'm baffled because I've never met this lady face-to-face. This was all like one of those phone companies you work through. People call you, you do readings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I said, never met this lady face-to-face. This lady lived in Colorado. At the time, I lived in Wisconsin. This lady rented a SUV, got in the SUV and drove 10 hours or something like that to come and pick me up, get my stuff, and take me back to Colorado. Now, I understand a job proposal, but I'm sitting there going, I feel like this all happened because I affirmed it, and then I just let it unfold the way it was supposed to unfold, and then as these opportunities came along, I just accepted them one after another, and then next thing I know, I was in Colorado, and the reason I tell people about Colorado being such an experience for me, because every time I would do things after I went to Colorado, I think just that one experience made me realize that I never opened my mouth to say anything. When an opportunity came to me, I would never say, well, I can't do that because I got the money. I would just sit here and go, okay. And just, or I'd say, yes. I would love to go look at some apartments. Or, yes, I would love to go to this and stay in this hotel. Never cared about if I had any money or not. I was just accepting every opportunity that came along. And I noticed that when I did that, things just kept getting better and better. So I, you know, I accepted a hotel that I had the money for, which led me to an apartment, which left, you know, actually led me to my first shop and more business, and just boom, 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 boom. So you're right. It's the idea of progression. So I was sitting there thinking, it's kind of funny how that one incident
happened.
And it's
just focus and what you're paying attention to. And just as you're talking now, you know, you're pumping yourself up. The more you talk about the magic in your life and how things worked and how good it felt, that's the abundance that you create. And then you bring magic.
Yes, and you go, hey, Donnie, you just got your own radio show. What are you going to do? I'm going to Disney World, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, and I think what we're trying to say with the Angel of Victory and Triumph, which is actually the topic for today's show, is the idea of pumping that much energy into your life and getting that exciting. You're having victory with yourself, so therefore it's easier to triumph over anything it does.
Absolutely.
Stand in your way.
It makes life so fun. I mean, you create, every day you create better and better, and the better it gets, and the better it gets, the better it gets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just cumulative.
Gotta go
now. You don't look back and go,
mm-hmm,
oh, that sucks.
Hey, exactly. I was trying to tell my daughter that. I said, you got fired from your job. I understand that. But I said, look at it as, I said, celebrate. Now you can go get what you want. And she's like, well, it doesn't work that way. Why don't you look at your life right now? And every time you've ever gotten fired or quit or something from a job, you went on to another one. But for some reason, you forget that.
Yeah, but sometimes, it hurts. And so sometimes you have to go a little slower than jump into celebration. Sometimes you just have to take it the next best feeling thought and just kind of move up the emotional ladder, you know, a little bit
that.
At a time.
I do understand what you're saying, but in this situation, I'm not saying you're wrong, but with the situation of this situation she was in, the reason I say celebrate, because right now she has about $8,000 coming in on taxes, where she doesn't really, if she didn't want to work right now with her husband, the way he's been, he's like a manager of, let's just say a major restaurant or a franchise. So she doesn't have to do anything for the next 2 months if she doesn't want to. And I can understand being angry with some people here in town, because some people have a tendency to look at their jobs as that's their life. And when it's taken away like that, they look at someone ripping their life apart. When actually, I feel like, I'm just saying, I was trying to help her out and say, okay, I know you're angry, but what are you really angry about? Are you angry at yourself because you didn't make this decision quick enough to do just what happened? Or was it a realization that, you know, sometimes she has a lot of plans. And it's like looking at her going, okay, these plans, I do this with relationships, but I was trying to do with her, where I like tell people in relationships, I say, okay, you're thinking that since you didn't get this guy, that you can't have the relationship you want and the great romance that you want. And I'm here to say, yes, you can, but maybe it won't be with the person you think. Now, if you sit and look at the situation, the job that you're hanging on to, I said, you're going to get exactly what you want. You're going to have that career, just exactly what you want to. It just might not be with this job, which today you just found out that's the truth. So we can beat it. We can beat ourselves up, or we can look at it as a direction. I'm saying, well, okay, that wasn't the right direction. Let's go the other direction and see what happened, because I'm pretty sure in the situation of people going after jobs, there was always choices, and they made one choice to go one way. And I still feel like in some ways those choices are still open. You should still try them out anyway. They happen, and they don't happen. So you say you want to get a reading. Do you have a couple questions?
Oh, Yeah, I'm looking into, I really love this man that I'm interested in. And he's thinking that I'm really just too old for him. I'm looking into going a different direction and maybe, just pulling in somebody else romantically and continuing to be his good friend. What do you think of that?
Good question.
I can create it myself. I just wanted to know what you get.
No, I feel like it's one of those things that when I pick up on the whole thing, I just feel like this idea, just the idea of asking the question will give me a really good positive feeling that that's a good choice and a good direction to go in. And,
yeah.
And it shows you that you've definitely made the declaration that I'm going to be happy no matter what and no matter who.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you call me.
And when you tune in to him, can you tune in to him and tell me that he's telling the truth about he's just, it's kind of difficult for me to believe because he calls me 3 times a day and,
well,
you know.
The answer I get from the angels is, and what I keep picking up all the time anyway, is when he talks about certain things like that, he's so full of it.
Yeah.
I get the impression that he's not telling you. He's telling himself.
That I'm too old for him?
Yeah. He keeps reminding himself over and over again, so therefore he won't go there. Because he's willing to go there so many times anyway. Oh, yes, Barbara. Barbara, are you there?
I'm here. And the first thing that popped into my mind is, do you think you're old?
No. No. But he's just come out of a relationship where he's bitten old chick nails. He married a woman who's my age, and he just blamed everything on the age difference. And so when he looks at me, he goes, I did that already, you know. But no,
why did you attract a man into your life who has this perception? What is it that you need to learn from this?
Well, I had already attracted him before he married this other woman. So I have strong feelings for him. When he was attracted to me regardless of my age. So these feelings have been going on for some time. So what I can say is take full responsibility and given that I create my own reality, how does this situation serve me? Well, it has served me because I have taken, he's been stimulating for me, frankly, because I've used this whole situation as a trampoline. I get stronger, I get healthier, and I seem to be reversing the aging process. I feel like I look younger than I have, and it just seems to get better, and I'm happier. Every day I get happier, and so that has served me, and the power in that has been profound for me.
I just want to say one thing, too, that Barbara, if you sit and look at these two, how they reflect each other, right now they're really stubborn. They're really stubborn about what they really want, and they're not. Right now, at this moment, they're not. They don't have any excuses for that. They're going to say, "This is what I want. This is what's going to happen," and they're sticking to that. So she knows what she wants, and he thinks he knows what he wants. But I really feel like he's making decisions because of a disappointment of something that didn't go the way he wanted to. And every time he looks at you say his name's Andrea. When he looks at you, he sees the reality of what he could have had if he would have made a different decision. So he's kind of beating himself up, almost like he wants to punish himself. So he won't let himself have what he knows he deserves. And she's not willing to give up on what she deserves. Does that make sense to you, Barbara?
Yeah, it does. I get a strong sense that you need to detach. Not that you need to end anything, but that you need to not have any strings attached to it.
Anything.
That you can enjoy the relationship, you can enjoy the whole experience, but have no expectations about the outcome.
Mm-hmm. That's very freeing. I like that.
I don't care what happens. I'm happy right now.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And you guys out there need to call in because we're experiencing a lot of good stuff here, guys. Come on, call in, get your reading, and call in. What is the number here? 646-721-9031.
We have another question in the chat room.
Well, it's going to be $5. I'm just kidding. But,
hey, darling.
Okay, where's it at? Question, what do you see for me in terms of career, wise, and creative ventures?
You should Bye, actually sweetie.
Say, are you leaving?
Bye. Yeah, I'm going to go. Well, because I haven't made dinner yet.
Oh, that makes, well, yeah, that's a great idea. Go get some dinner and that kind of stuff. And
I may call back once I've done that.
Okay, if we're not here, I would really welcome a call afterwards if you want to call.
Okay, sweet. Thank you so much for that reading. And Barbara, I thought that was really excellent. So God bless you both, and I really had a good time. So I'll
well,
call back later.
Here. Yeah, you definitely need to call. You seem like you should call in more often because you just really bring a lot of positive energy to the show.
Oh, so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, and have a great dinner.
All righty. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, where are we at? Okay, the chat room question was, should you have bacon with eggs? Is that too high cholesterol? Of course, that wasn't the question, but what do you see for me in terms of career, wise, and creative ventures? It's kind of crazy. Every time I read that, I keep thinking they should start to have a travel agency and call it that. Wise and creative ventures, travel. it just has a ring to it, you know? She's laughing. Someone's laughing anyway.
It's the same person who wrote the question that's laughing.
Yeah, I'm just saying career wise and creative ventures. I mean, I just feel when I see that question, it's just, you know, what do you see for me? I see exactly what you see for yourself, too, so why are you not following through with that? I think someone's giving me a kiss. Is that what that means? Do you see the chat room?
Yeah.
When they have two, so when another smiley face is, that's a kiss, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I mean, I'm just looking at these things, and some of this stuff is really new to me because I really haven't, I usually have someone else on the show with me who's usually keeping watch of the chat room, so sometimes I don't watch it. And actually, when I first started on the show, I didn't realize you could do a chat room. Yeah, so people, because one time, who was it? Someone came on one night. I don't know, maybe it might have been you, I think it was. I'm not sure who it was, but they said, so are you going to do a chat room? I said, oh, can I do that? Sure, okay, no problem, I'll do a chat room. So I did the chat room. I'm not sure if they heard what I said, but basically what I heard was, what it came to me was, you need to start following through with what you know you want to do. That's the wise career move. And it's very creative because you're the one who created that thought in the first place. So follow through with that. And I do believe it's guidance coming through, but it's definitely something you really want to do. I know it's going to kind of like sound like circles, but sometimes in readings, we don't tell you what you already know that you need to do. It's the idea of prompting you to follow through with what you already know. Does that make sense, Barbara?
Yeah, it does. And that's pretty much what I was getting to, that there is no separation between the career and the creativity, because it's the creative ventures that are the career.
And the wise thing to do is for you to listen to yourself and follow through with it. So therefore, if you think about that cycle or that circle, it just shows you how wise you are by making that choice to follow through with what you really want to do with your life. Which I think is going to be the creative part of it, and the wise thing about it is everybody's always looking for things, Barbara. Like, I want to find a solution to my financial problems. Then start focusing on what you really want to do with your life. Because right now what you're doing is you're chasing after the foundation of money instead of trusting your own foundation of who you are. Does that make sense?
Exactly.
So it's like you look at the situation and go, come on, man, what do you want to do? Oh, yeah, that's a scary thing for some people, isn't it? It's, what do you want to do? What? You know? What do you want to do, huh? Seriously, guys, I had some really good visions when I came up in high school. I actually wanted to be a superhero like Batman. That might sound crazy, man, but it's a decision of saying, you know something? People say that's freaking impossible. But I guess at a young age, I was always taught that nothing's impossible. So if that's the case, whatever I can conceive or think about or imagine does exist.
And that's just the way life is, buddy. We actually have a caller, Barbara. Let's answer some questions. What do you say?
All right.
Here we go. 786 area code. You're on the air, and welcome to the show. And what is your name?
Name is Enough Love in the chat room.
Enough Love. And are you the one that asked the question?
Yes, I did. And the reason why I called first, thank you for taking my call and also my question in the chat room. And I was just saying, I just wanted to say that while listening to this show, I had this piece of paper next to me, and I jot down travel. I just wrote travel on there. And then after that, I pulled the question. That was like a long time ago, though.
And then you mentioned
about travel. And I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Is this a joke or what?
Yeah, you should have been there one time when I was doing an angel reading for this lady, and I was pulling these cards out, and she's like, every card you pulled out is just for me. Are you pulling those cards out just for me? I said, dear, if I could really do that, I would be one fantastic psychic, wouldn't I, if I could just pull out every card. I said, no, the cards are coming out just like that, just for you. I said, how does that make you feel? I said, when I do readings, what a lot of times happens is, like your situation, So I'll come up with creative writing. You need a creative writing. You need to write a book. And then my angel cards will come up, and the card will come afterwards and say, yes, that's exactly what you should do. So it backs up what I've already picked up on. So it's like you're getting two opinions for the price of one. But with your situation, travel, I'm just saying with your situation and stuff like that. And it was kind of funny how I picked it up too, Barbara. I was sitting there saying, you've already sat down and thought about it, what you want to do. You just need to follow through with it. And she's sitting there thinking, and she even writes it down, travel. So I'm thinking, that whole reading was right on the money.
That was way before you even, not to cut you off, way before you even, Barb got on the line and said we have a question in the chat room. That was approximately around 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Where are you at? Where are you at?
I was like, wow, I'm in Florida.
You're in Florida? Whereabouts in Florida?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Whereabouts in Florida?
In Miami.
You're in Miami?
For now, yes.
Yeah, for now? Trying to get the heck out.
For now.
So why? Yeah. I'm just saying, you seem like, I would say there's some, I put it like this, there are some infractions in your life right now. When I say that word, I keep seeing males.
Male?
Male, yeah. I see a male who...
Male, okay.
He has a tendency to call us, try to simplify them and say they're just infractions, because it's like when you see certain things that you know that you should have made a different decision, so they're just reminding you to get out of something. So...
Right, exactly. I'm trying to hold on to something, and then those thoughts are coming in on what I should be doing, and I'm trying to push it back. I'm like, no. And then it gets even stronger, and I'm like, okay, I have to give up and just do what for me to do.
But, sometimes I look at people and I say, okay, you're in a relationship, and you can't understand why this person is doing what he's doing, too, and you can't understand why you're getting stronger feelings for that person, when all it does is reflect back to you that you are that deep, loving person that you wish he was.
Right, you're right.
So, the situation like that... But it also shows you at the same time that you're not respecting yourself. So therefore, the answer is to go find someone who respects what you give. And when they did respect, just the respect itself shows that you're getting it back.
That is so true.
So, I wanted to ask how old you are, because I keep getting 26.
No, I'm much older. 24.
And for how much?
24.
You're 44?
Yes.
Okay. Well, since I picked up 26, I would go with that. make you feel better.
I feel like I'm in my 20s, so yeah.
Yeah, because I tell people all the time, I'll sit and talk to some friends, and they go, man, she goes, I've actually had people like this, Barbara, who will sit there and say, I don't want to get a reading from you because you can't be that old. And I said, really? I don't know how to take that. And so... Or I was sitting, this girlfriend who I just basically let go of, she said this one day, which really freaked me out too. She goes, "I didn't realize you are as intelligent as you are." And I'm sitting there going, "Okay, there's another one. How do I take that? Is that a compliment or an insult, or was that just both, man?" So I thought I was a pretty intelligent guy, and she goes, "You are. I just realized it." So I think in a situation like that, I think it's more of a, that's her realization that maybe she should really focus and, I guess, accept what she sees and what she hears instead of, I guess that was a eureka moment for her. She's like, "Wow, you're pretty smart. Okay." I'm
maybe
still kind of
baffled. Maybe she realized through, like, shifting through perception, like, well, some people do. Some people just go about what they see and, like, perceive about other people versus getting to know them and so on and so forth, so.
Yeah, she's sitting there telling me how great a person is. I guess she had to come to the realization too, huh? Well, you are a great. I just realized you're a great person. Oh, okay. I thought you said that 2 days ago. Did you just now come to the realization? Okay, I'm kind of like, I wouldn't say I'm confused.
Was
but...
that before shopping or after shopping?
Before, after shopping. That's me.
Yeah.
I always feel better about people after shopping. So. I mean, I hate to say that, but, I mean, I've done that before. I'm like, okay, I'm a little pissed off today, so I'm going to go and I'll go shopping. Now, I've had to stop that because sometimes I usually spend money until I feel happier, which can actually get really up there. So I've had to stop doing that. It's like fishing, guys. I quit fishing. Do you know how I saved $300 when I stopped fishing? Everybody's like, "No, how do you do that?" I said, every time I would go fishing, I would fall asleep. So the fish would take my pole. So when I stopped fishing, they didn't take my pole no more. So I saved myself money. So, so you know, the situation is, you know, it's perception. I thought, the only time I ever had fun going fishing, it was when I broke my arm because my arm was in an L cast. So it was a great place to put a pole. And when I fell asleep, the pole would hit me in the stomach, so they couldn't steal it. So this is great, man. I got this little cast here. It's like an alarm system. Oop, someone tried to steal your pole. So, but when I lost that one. But, sweetie, what'd you say your name was?
Oh, Marge. But on
Marge?
The chat room, it's yeah.
Your name is Marge. So, how, when you okay? Do you have a nickname?
No, I don't have a nickname.
No one's ever called you by anything else ever in your whole life? Did you have a grandmother that used to call you something different than what your name is?
Well, it's kind of funny. it's very funny because I was very skinny. So they used to call me Bone. Well, that's just like my dad, though. He was just like Bones.
Bones?
Yeah, Bones. Because it was just skinny.
Oh. I'm just saying, I was picking up on your grandmother. Your grandma's passed away, right?
Yes, my grandma is. Yeah. That was December 2008.
That's on your dad's side?
Yeah. No, I said my grandmother passed away December 2008.
No, I was saying, was that your dad's mother?
That was my dad's mother, yes.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to get a confirmation here. Work with me, would you?
No,
I was just saying. I was saying your dad's mother passed away. She seemed like she was something that was very close to you. I actually feel like she's still. I feel like she's still very close to you.
I agree. Sometimes, like I'll drive and something will tell me just pull over, and then all of a sudden I don't do it, and then I get a ticket right.
I'm just saying, I picked up on your grandmother, and then I got this, that's why I got the nickname. You used to have a nickname that people, you know, there's something about the whole thing. Maybe people don't call you now, but I just got this thing from your grandmother to bring that up to where you would know. It's almost like a confirmation.
Yes, that's correct.
So Bones.
Yes,
thank you.
Sorry. Name was Bones.
So how do you feel? How do you feel about yourself right now? I mean, you are in a relationship, right?
Yes. I feel good, but I just need to narrow down exactly my consulting business. That's basically
your consulting business. And this consulting business, do you travel?
I do, but locally, though.
Well, you need to expand it. Travel.
Yeah.
Traveling. Traveling. You need to expand your consulting business. You want to be happy, you want to do what you want to do, then you're going to have to expand. But that's the whole thing about expanding your business as well in the first place.
That's right.
Did somebody fall down?
No. I'm still here.
No, I just heard some wild noises, like someone had fell off a couch or something.
No, not on my end.
Not on mine either.
That's a nice way to put it, guys. Someone fell off their chair, and you said, not on my end. And I'm like, well, that's good. that means you're... I'm just sort of going, did you hear the way they put that? Not on my end. Not on my end either. And I'm like, okay. We know neither one of these guys fell down. So that's great. But, no, seriously. What you should really do with the situation with your grandmother, I feel like she's very close to you and the ideal, just not traffic tickets, but also she has a very good judge of men, okay?
I agree.
So it's just the idea of looking at the situation and going, you know, I did this with my friend Regina, and she never realized how important it was to clear people out of your life that you need to clear out of your life that was actually blocking her on a lot of things. I mean, the first guy that she got rid of, she found out how psychic she was. Now she works in a metaphysical shop, doing very well. And then the second guy, she had to sleep on her couch because she felt sorry for her. Well, as soon as she got rid of him, she found out more gifts about herself. But she also found out a lot more things in her spiritual realm and that what's going on. So you see, everything is important. And when things when it says clear the clutter, sometimes you got to look at people and say, I'm sorry, but I'm clearing the clutter. That's my perception. I'm pretty sure you're a great person and probably with the right person, you can be that great person.
I have to agree with you. Because what I do is, as far as relationship is concerned, I just block it out and just focus more on what I need to do and just put myself out there as far as networking. So that's the reason why I answer about relationship great, because I just feel like it's not really evolving for me to be thinking about a man 24 hours or how he's treating me. So I just have a habit, ever since I was a child, of just put stuff in the back burner and not focusing on it. And then at times, you know, things do come back and bite me, but I'm just, like, focused. Like, just a second ago, you mentioned about the end goal of certain people, and I did just that, you know. I find it hard. One of my sisters, so close to her, and she kept having the same pattern of behavior, and I just had to mentally block her. And I told her I have to let you go because this is not, you know, for relationships. So that's what I do in terms of relationship, and I'll probably, you know, spend like 40 to 60 hours making things work on my end. I'm also working on a book, so I do spend time on that. So that's I don't know if it's good or bad, but I just block it out. Like, just have to do what I need to do and then have to answer yes or no, maybe, and then just move forward. But I do understand exactly you're saying is to really have a balance, and once you're with that another person who really fully understand your vision, then you're able to go move forward, which I truly agree, because I feel like I'm doing everything now just by myself.
Okay.
You know, it's just like I don't have any support, you know?
So if you're not if someone's not supporting you, then stop supporting them.
Exactly. And that's what I met this individual at the seminar, and his situation is way over there, and I was just questioning myself, like, okay, he has great plans. Why am I attracted to this now? But it's not on a relationship type of, you know, setting. It's more of a business. But at the same time, it's just his situation is so overwhelmed that he just can't even think straight in putting his business plans, you know, or take action towards what he wants to do.
So, in the situation with your grandmother, when you were a child, did she ever slap you on the face like a little kind of thing? Guys, you can all stick around. We can still talk. It's just I'm gonna tell everybody thanks for everybody calling in. I really appreciate the support, all the listeners, and everybody who's calling, and everybody who's got readings with me, and just appreciate everybody across the board.
This is what I love to do, and I'd love to work with each and every one of you. So give us a call tomorrow. Tomorrow we actually Friday is free reading Friday. So call in, and all we're going to be doing tomorrow is readings, and Saturday is the same thing. We're going to be doing them at readings. Saturday I have a guest with me, Amy. She has a show here called, what's it called? Cupid Psychic Aim, I think it's called. It's on late nights. I'm going to have to get that one down, too, and make sure I got the information because I don't like doing that. But she's going to be here with us Saturday, and I'm sure if you tune in, she's going to tell you all about her because I'm going to give her a chance to. And she's really a great reader, too. And I've gotten many readings from her myself, and she's around the money. So check that one out. And thank you for all being here, and you guys all have a great night. And like I always say, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And we're out of here, and see you all later. Bye.
And late nights turn to days. I spend my life in and out of trouble. And everywhere I turn, I never seem to learn. Ending up my own worst enemy.
Barbara? And she's gone. Barbara! Okay. Barbara? You know, sometimes with these freaking, this whole thing drives me up the freaking walls.
I had no idea. I have no idea what to do with conversations like that. What do you do? Just ignore them?
Let it go.
Yeah.
Clear it.
Because
you can't ignore it.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about Kevin?
Oh, he was really interesting. I enjoyed talking to him.
He reminds me of that one guy. Dr. Drew. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't think I do.
That's the doctor that helps the stars with addictions. You know, the show.
Oh, okay. I think I might have seen the show once. So.
Yeah, if you ever listen to his voice and listen to Kevin's voice, I was trying to say that as a compliment, not the other way around. Because he really knows what he's talking about. I got a kick out of it myself.
Yeah. He was very insightful. I enjoyed talking to him.
Yeah, I thought you guys kind of like put Andrea. What's her name? What did she say her name was? Andrea?
Andrea, yeah.
Yeah, she was, you got her thinking. You know, why did you attract a person who has a problem with AIDS into her life? And, I liked her answer too when she said it motivates her, where she feels that she feels younger now than she did when she met him. And I guess I was saying that too when I met that girlfriend of mine who was like, "You can't do nothing." And then I went to the other way of saying, "Yes, you can." And I go right into mode and go, "Okay, we do this, this, this. We think about this, this. Focus. And it's going to happen." And 2 years later, it does. And she's like, "A miracle." I'm sitting there going, "Was it a miracle or just right thinking?" There's no such thing as good luck or bad luck. It's either good decision or bad decision. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I gotta go to the store and return some movies and stuff. But I don't know if I can call you back later. Maybe you can give me some like a mini lead. Not mini, mini, mini. It's like a guy with Buck Rogers. If you ever saw that series on the television, Buck Rogers?
That was a long time ago.
Well, they had a little robot, you know. So I was having problems there. I was wondering, you don't have to, which I shouldn't say things like that, but I should just ask the question and give me an answer, and then we'll go from there. But I was wondering if you could actually do a mini reading for me later on. I'm talking like 45 minutes. If not, I understand. I really do. It's one of those things that I know people have schedules and they don't sit around waiting for me to call readings or to call on anything. So I understand that. So I'm just saying.
Yes, I can, but you're going to have to do some clearing work too.
What's that mean? I got to go wash my car?
No, you're going to have to get rid of some of the stuff you've been lugging around all your life.
All my life? Boy, aren't you like, gosh, why don't you get a sword and cut me off at the waist?
I say you can take it, so, you know.
Of course. I know that. I was sitting there saying that the other day. I'm sitting there going, you know, sometimes I remember getting hit with a piece of concrete, knocked around, got my head busted open. I said, the only thing that's popping me is, I don't think anything can hurt me, so why do I keep trying to? I have realizations all the time. I was freaking out for a minute because I looked down at my freaking queue and I forgot you're still there. I was like, oh, I got a caller. I'm losing. I got to go take a walk. So let me go take care of this situation. And I guess, is it okay to call you on Skype when I get back?
Yeah, that'll be fine.
All right, then. I'll talk to you then. Thank you again for being here today. And thank you. I appreciate that taking over for me. I really hated to do that, and I really don't. I mean,
no,
I can understand.
It's no problem.
Huh?
It's no problem at all. Don't even think about it.
All right. I still appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome.
I will talk to you when I get back.
Okay.
All right. Bye bye now.
Bye bye.
I'm glad to get a kick out of that one, huh?